This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Man. When Jake Paul comes out and blames Biden voters because Biden is destroying the economy, I'm just like, wow. If that is not an excellent barometer for where regular people are at, because I'm not saying this to disrespect Jake Paul or anything like that, but he's not a political guy. So when he's sitting there going like everything's bad and it's Biden's fault, and if you voted for him, it's your fault too, I'm like, oof. Tell me how you really think. You take a look at the aggregate polling for Biden, it's at what, like 38%?
That's
just miserably low. And if you are in the crypto markets, my friend, you're feeling it too. So it's actually a lot of news today. I just want to let everybody know, you want to know how you know you're old? You don't get hurt exercising. So we got Jamie Kilstein here and he was like, how'd you get hurt? Were you like doing a flip or something? And I was like, bro, I was sleeping.
Hell yeah.
I went to sleep and I woke up and I couldn't move.
Incapacitated.
So, fortunately though, we got a plethora of people here. So I'm going to just like try and make this work. I didn't do my morning show. I literally could not get out of bed. So I got one of those fancy icy hot things. You stick it in. And then I took one of those fancy, over the counter pain medications and I'm in excruciating pain right now.
We got to get an inversion table in here.
We have one. I use it every single day. But I mean, at least like 5 times a day to avoid the problems that Tim has because I have the same problem.
Oh, so it's working?
Yes. No. Yes.
The cool thing is like I got the Whoop, right? And you look at my heart rate.
It's like you're dying.
Throughout the night. And my heart rate's really good. It's like 48. And then right around 4 a.m. it jumps to like 100.
It's like, what? Call 911.
And that's when I woke up like, I couldn't move. Actually, this happened on Sunday. And then it's a little bit better. And I think I'll be better tomorrow.
I've been sleeping without a pillow. That's groundbreakingly awesome. Flatten it out my back.
I got to try it.
I'll have a pillow and then halfway through the night I'll take it off and throw it on the ground and just flatten it.
You
got
to discipline yourself to stay on your back though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not roll to the stomach.
No. So we got a bunch of news, man. We're going to talk about it. So we got people hanging out. We got Bill Ottman in the house.
What's up, guys? Psyched to be here.
Who are you?
I'm Bill. I'm co-founder of Minds. Woo. Check me out. Minds.com/Ottman.
You got a thing going on?
We got a thing going on.
Oh, boy.
Festival.minds.com, people.
Hell yeah.
Beacon Theater, June 25th. New York City. I know people aren't happy about New York City. We had the deposit down before the pandemic, so
Beacon Theater is a cool venue. That's on my bucket list of places I want to play.
The
like,
Allman Brothers,
worth it.
Yeah,
that's
why
the Allman Brothers. Yeah.
Nope. So we got Cornel West, Coleman Hughes, Zubin, Blair White, yeah. Tim, James, Tulsi, James O'Keefe, Tulsi Gabbard, Ben Burgess, Zuby, Seth Dillon, Babylon B.
Just added Jamie Kilstein.
Yeah.
Hopefully these two guys will come. I think they're gonna. So guys, come out. Promo code Festival, 50% off. Festival.minds.com. There's also a free ticket request. We know some people are strapped. The economy is screwed. Make a request if money is an issue. We want to get everybody in.
But be careful, because if you're strapped in the other way, New York won't let you in.
That's true. So watch yourself.
Which is weird.
I thought you meant
like strapped on a different kind of strap.
No, that's good.
It means you have a gun.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
We got Jamie Kilstein.
Hey everybody. Now I listen to the show more. I remember last time when you were like, what do you do? Instead of promoting my shit, I was like, well, a long time ago I was canceled and things took a dark turn, but now I'm ready. I wrote stuff down. I'm Jamie Kilstein. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm headlining House of Comedy, Plano, Dallas area next week, the 16th. 18th and 19th, I host a podcast called A Fuck Up's Guide to the Universe. We've had everyone from John Cleese to Nicole Aniston, the porn star, when I had a breakup and she nurtured me back to health. I also, if you don't like tribalized bullshit, I have a Patreon, patreon.com/Jamie Kilstein, and I'm on Twitter at Jamie Kilstein, Instagram at the Jamie Kilstein.
And he cusses like
are you sure you
did
are,
I do it already?
Are you sure you watch the show? Because it's a family friendly show, Jamie.
Are you trying to get canceled?
Sorry,
I'm already canceled this. Enough.
But, okay. By the way, I was like, don't get canceled this time, and I looked in front of me and I'm like, are these bullet casings that say let's go Brandon?
They are, yeah.
Cool.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
And hey, guys, my name is Luke Gradowski of WeAreChange.org, and I think we're just very not that far away from 1984 doses to slow the spread. You can do your part by going to thebestpoliticalshirts.com and spreading this very important message to the Kyles and Karens out there, thebestpoliticalshirts.com. Because you go there, I'm here. Thank you guys so much for having me. This should be a very wonderful, amazing, interesting conversation. Ian, how are you?
Yes, oh, pretty good, Luke, actually. Thanks for asking, man. I think I got to do an inversion table myself. Normally, what I do is I get up, I have some coffee, I like look on the internet. I do tech, I'm a social media entrepreneur. You can follow me at iancrossland.net. I've been doing internet video blogs since the beginning, 2006, making it popular, communicating across the void, because why not? It's a form of time travel.
And I am also here. You cannot avoid me if you are watching a show. I will be pushing buttons in the corner, and I was messing with this camera earlier so I could put it over on Tim and the papasan, but he decided to sit up in the chair. And
I wasn't really going to sit in the papasan.
It would have worked. I didn't move it over.
I was like slumped over.
Yeah,
just
I was
like,
dying. Gently dying.
Very Stephen Hawking.
It's really, really exciting. But I am also here. I'm really excited for the show. Love Jamie and Bill.
Before we get started, head over to timcast.com. Become members to help support our important work. As a member, you get access to exclusive segments from this show Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. I am going, we're going to have one tonight. You know, I, because I'm in such like, in all seriousness, I'm seriously hurting really bad. But, you know, I absolutely hate not working. And so like the pain of not doing the show is more than the pain in my body. And I was like, we're going to do it. So we'll have it. It'll be a lot of fun. Considering we have such funny people here, I thought it would be a shame if we did not get something out. So that'll be up tonight. And you'll be supporting our journalists and the hard work we do every single day. So don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to this channel. Share the show with all of your friends if you really do want to support us. Let's jump into this first story. I absolutely love the way that Fox News has framed this story. Boxer Jake Paul blasts Biden for gas prices inflation, claims Biden voters are the American problem. I mean, in all honesty, that's a brutal statement. He said, Biden accomplishments, highest gas prices, worst inflation, plummeting crypto prices. That one made me laugh. Highest rent prices ever. Created new incomprehensible language. Bravo, Jake Paul. That was amazing.
And I don't think he's like a big conservative dude. No, like he goes after Dana White from the UFC, the way he treats fighters. And I think has talked about like unionizing. I saw him do like either him or his brother Logan did like a Black Lives Matter thing for. Yeah, he's not like a super like right wing dude.
That's he says, if you're reading this and voted for Biden and you still don't regret it, then you are the American problem.
Oof.
So seeing that you hit the nail on the head. He's not like a conservative guy. You don't have. I think we've already seen it with people like Elon Musk. People who are not conservative are being like, hey, you know, I'm kind of reading the writing on the wall and I can see how bad this is. We had a friend of mine out recently who's like, you know, fairly liberal, who was just like, man, I don't know, I kind of regret this. Things are getting really bad.
Yeah.
So, but just an honorable mention real quick for them calling him a boxer.
He's 5-0.
And this is another thing. People who are not 5-0.
Four knockouts.
Boxing legends, Jake Paul.
And this is the thing. People who are not into politics are being forced into politics because of the way of how extraordinary this great reset is going, in a way where it's just unavoidable. Everything now is politics, and it's slowly becoming that with every political cycle, but I think now it's becoming more unavoidable than ever.
If you don't take an interest in politics, politics will take an interest in you.
Absolutely.
Like a Plato quote, I think.
Yeah. Pericles.
Oh, okay. It's been around since the Greeks.
Oh, I thought it was a Jake Paul quote.
Close enough.
The thing about tribalism, too, is I was thinking about this with the drag shows last week, watching some of my friends on the left almost feel like they had to defend it just because, like, that's what the left does. And I think with tribalism in general, it should be so easy. Like, what Jake Paul is doing should be the norm, right? Like, I remember when I was against drone strikes under Bush, and then Obama, who I liked and voted for, when he was doing it too, I was like, well, this is still bad. It's not like it's a cooler drone because it's Obama. It's still, you know, so even if you voted for Biden, or if you're a Democrat, you should actually be the most outraged when something goes wrong and feel free to call it out, not feel like, oh man, I guess I have to defend Biden. It's like, no, you don't, dude. Not if you don't want to.
Exactly.
But also, this is an opportunity for progressives to be like, we told you not to do Biden. We told you to do Bernie.
That would have been so much better, man.
I mean, I'm not saying Bernie. I think Bernie would have done better for sure.
Yeah, his mind was there at least. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know how much better. I think things are going really well under Trump. I think Bernie kind of sold out quite a bit. I was watching that Lindsey Graham Bernie thing a little bit, but I feel like a box of rocks would be better than Biden at this point.
Biden was the last thing I think a lot of liberals wanted, and then they doubled down like it was the greatest thing ever.
That was a tough one to watch. The whole, I can't stand that guy, so I'm voting for anything else. Yeah. I hope that that never happens again, because it was televised and it's been recorded now. At least we know what happens.
It happens every 4 years.
Does it?
Yeah. Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that 2016 election was another version of that, I think.
But people like Trump, man. For a lot of people, the more bombastic he was, the more they liked him, because he was pushing back on this machine, you know?
I'm glad I finally just get to admit publicly that he was hilarious.
He was, yeah.
I wouldn't vote for him, but man, oh man, was that guy funny. Yeah.
And that was the craziest thing to me. I remember it was like 2017 and 18, I'm just laughing nonstop at this guy. And I'm like, people were so angry, and I'm like, he's funny.
The funniest thing.
Horse face. Come on.
When he, this one was so simple, but it's the one that popped me the hardest, is during the Democratic debate, he literally just tweeted, boring.
Yeah,
I was like, hell yeah, dog. Good. That rules. That's the political commentary I am here for.
That's the reality. And then I guess people just didn't like the mean tweets. Mm. And so they're much, you know what's really funny? Actually, I'll put it this way. There's a viral meme going around called Donald Trump predicted everything that's happening. Have you guys seen it?
No.
It's literally just like one Trump rally where Trump is like, he's going to shut down your oil and gas industry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to see the highest gas prices. There's going to be a wave of immigrants coming across the border. And I'm like, oh, check. You know, and this got me thinking too, the craziest thing about it. Do you guys remember Joe Biden said he was going to transition off gas?
He was lying.
In the debate.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's outright. And so when I say, I said this last week, when you're looking at your gas prices, if you're an environmentalist, anti-climate change person, your only option is to be like, to accept the problem. Because Joe Biden said he wanted to fight climate change. Joe Biden said he wanted to get off fossil fuels. That's what he's trying to do. Here we go.
Okay, so that was actually my question, because I remember the people liked me last time I was on the show, because I asked questions instead of just yelling, talking point. So I legitimately don't know the answer to this. This is going to sound like it's a rhetorical, well, what do the conservatives want to do? But what do the conservatives want to do? Like, is there a solution that there, because everyone's furious, right? Yeah. But what are people saying? Like, what would Biden have to do? What are people asking him to do that would actually make the prices go down?
Let me take the non-conservative approach right away and just talk. The rational approach is we need to start building nuclear power plants.
Yes.
ASAP.
Yes.
The Green New Deal needs to actually be about green energy.
Yeah.
So this is like, I'll mention the conservative stuff in a second, but if the Green New Deal was like, we will invest X amount of dollars into wind turbines in these areas, we will open up these areas for geothermal, or then I'd be like, well, it looks like we got a plan.
That all
like,
sounds progressive and wonderful.
But it's not, that's not what's in it. Right. What's in it is like free healthcare for marginalized like college and stuff like that. And it was a resolution that never actually proposed any of this stuff in the first place. And right away, I'm just like, okay, well, the progressive solution should be draft an actual bill addressing the expansion of green energy. I suppose what they'll do is they'll say the Build Back Better bill. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, but that was just so much. That's $5 trillion of random other things. So I will say right off the bat, we got to get over this stigma of nuclear power. The conservatives are outright just saying, give the permits back for oil and gas leases, because they shut some down in the Gulf, in Alaska, and on federal lands. Some of these were due to court rulings, challenges by environmentalists, not because Biden was doing it. Biden ultimately pulled them because of losing court cases. Mm. Keystone Pipeline, turn it back on. That'll alleviate some of the speculative pressures.
Oh, no, I remember protesting that.
Right, exactly. No. Well, so this one.
Oops, sorry, y'all.
Thanks, Jamie.
It's a little more.
Thanks for shutting it down.
Deregulate.
Yeah, my bullet casings will go elsewhere.
No, goodbye.
Conservatives want a removal of certain regulations that make it harder for oil and gas exploration.
Yeah.
So, we talk about why aren't we seeing more oil companies going to certain areas and trying to start developing more oil? It's because it's difficult, because there's government regulations. So the cost-benefit analysis is we shouldn't invest the money here because it's not going to pay out in the long run. It is complicated, to be completely honest. Saudi Arabia plays a big role.
Yep.
Because they're either overproducing or underproducing, which changes things. The war with Ukraine and Russia absolutely plays a big role. But to put it simply, oil exploration, alleviate some of the tensions on regulations, bring allow these leases back on federal lands. If it were Donald Trump as president, he would convene the CEOs of all these companies immediately. He would say, tell me what you need to get the prices down, and then have a plan.
Right. Or just very simply, undo everything that the Biden administration has done, because everything they have done is standing in the way of businessmen, is standing in the way of people being able to fix this problem with, of course, regulations, taxes, and big government bureaucrats who want their cut of the middle and are standing in the way of actual things that could help the people, that could help the environment, but we're not focusing on any of that.
So that was my follow-up question is, as a table of people who I think are as suspect of corporations as we are the government, is by loosening those regulations and giving more control to the corporations, do we trust them to do the right things, like the oil and gas?
No, they're profit motive driven.
Right. So that's the problem there too, right?
I'd like to see like a focus on biodiesel and teaching people how to make biodiesel that's legitimate, like pure and clean, that we can regulate and use. But relying on corporations to do it, they're going to have profit motive as their
total. Yeah, but let's get back to nuclear a little bit, because like there's a big misperception about modern nuclear versus like old school nuclear, which is super nasty. Like this is actually one of the few things. I don't know if you've seen the Bill Gates documentary on Netflix. Mm-hmm. One of the few things that Bill Gates has actually invested in, which is actually kind of interesting.
This guy's defending Bill Gates over here.
He's an Epstein freak show, but his nuclear power plants are actually really interesting because the waste is extremely minimal. I think they're actually powered by waste, and the risk of meltdown is just vastly less. So like Trump was not talking about nuclear. Like no one's talking about, they're afraid to talk about nuclear, even though the technology has evolved so much.
I heard Michael Schellenberger, who's running against Newsom.
Yeah, he just lost.
He was the only guy I've heard like talk about it where I was like, oh, this makes sense. It was the first time I heard it. Yeah.
He's super smart.
You can also, fusion is another kind of nuclear. So you got fission, you got fusion, completely different processes. They're both called nuclear because it's ignorance, basically. Fusion's completely, I mean, once you give, if you can ignite fusion and get it going, it basically gives you an unlimited fuel supply. I think that scares people in power. Yeah.
Jamie, I want to push back on your point here just a little bit, especially when it comes to the public-private sector debate, especially when it comes to the larger topic that we're discussing here, the Biden administration, because what we essentially have here is the government, the Biden administration, picking and choosing what corporations are going to prosper, which ones are not. So when you look at the Green New Deal, when you look at all the proposals that he's pushing, it's directly going to benefit countries that he has business dealings with his son, like China, especially when they are the ones getting the raw minerals to get the solar panels, to get the batteries. So when you look at any kind of corporation, the most powerful ones, the most unaccountable ones, are the ones that have friends in Washington, D.C.
And
my argument that you kind of countered back on and asked the question on, do we trust these corporations? No, obviously, but it's because of the government intervening and directly playing a key role in which corporation does well and which corporation does not well.
Yeah, I agree that last part. I don't trust the corporations either way.
I don't trust anybody.
Yeah. but that last part's spot on.
But when it comes to the free market and allowing individuals to choose what they want, giving them choice, giving them decentralization rather than the monopoly of force, government coming in and saying you can only buy from this corporation, you can only buy solar, is the problem because it leads to more problems. It leads to the government abusing their power.
Let me point out too that there was a chart I was looking at last week that shows the Trump administration's last year, which showed inflation and wages were stable. And then a month after, or like a couple weeks after Biden is inaugurated, it inverts. Wages collapse. Inflation skyrockets. It's been a year and a half. Biden, it's still on track going the exact same direction. So certainly by now, Biden could have done something. So I think the issue with gas prices, too, it's not just about the direct regulations and policies on gas. I know a lot of people immediately say, like, what has Biden done directly to affect gas prices? You can also come out and just be like, the unemployment benefits expansion, which I understand had good intentions. But then you're flooding the market with the mass release of currency, which is going to devalue the currency. So even if Biden didn't do anything on these other issues, Keystone was big because that caused massive speculation. If he did nothing other than the economic policy, which results in inflation, gas will go up along with it because you got to pay truckers. One of the things about Keystone that's so brutal is that how do we get oil shipped if we're not doing it by pipeline? Freighters, trucks. That's even worse. Mm. It takes fuel to transport. You put in a big pipe, there's fears about leaks. Totally get it. I think the big issue is, it's fair to say, we're addicted to oil. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that to be a dick, but I mean we built a civilization off of fossil fuels. Yeah. Fossil fuels are incredible. The energy return on energy invested is absolutely amazing. And so we were able to literally create human life. When we build these machines that can harvest a field faster and better, then all of a sudden people are fat and happy. They're fed. They're going to have babies. They need tons of babies. But you're going to need that resource to maintain that level of life as well.
It freed the slaves. You brought this up a while ago. It was the steam-powered engine in the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s that basically it was the cotton gin is the big part of it. But it opens up – the fossil fuels have opened us up to no longer be slaves to labor in a lot of ways.
But
to what you were saying, Luke, about Biden picking favorites, I mean, he won't even mention Elon Musk with regards to electric cars or solar. It's like,
isn't that wild?
Talk about talk about the players in the industry.
Elon has a low ESG score. Yeah, he's been kicked out of the ESG. He has a renewable energy car company that's a pioneer in its field. And again, lots of critical things I could say about Elon, but in that particular field, all the green people or the peaceniks should be all happy and good.
But he tweeted a meme with Tim Pool, dog.
Exactly, exactly. So he tweets interesting things now, and he's the main person that pushes the kind of narrative, pushes the conversation, and that's why he's the one that
want to strike back against tribalism, that is a moment where you go, you know what, I don't agree with Elon Musk, but he's trying to do something to help us with our energy addiction. I want to do it. Let's come together and get people from all sides to do this thing that shouldn't be political.
It's okay to agree with someone on a single topic. You're not endorsing their entire
life.
Yeah.
You know, regarding this mass printing of money, I've kind of had a moment of clarity. They're basing it on what's called modern monetary theory, invented shortly after World War II, I think, thereabouts. And the idea is you print as much as you need to stimulate and to build your infrastructure so that you can produce things. But what's happening now is they're using that idea. We're going to print as much as we need so that, fill in the blank, they're just giving it away to people's bank accounts. They're not building the infrastructure that modern monetary theory needs.
The special private interests, their buddies in the upper echelons in the establishment are getting secret Federal Reserve bailouts, and they're getting money that, of course, makes sure that they never lose money. When they make money, their profits are theirs. But when they lose money, they have losses, the Federal Reserve literally steps in and is like, yeah, we'll cover that for you. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
That's not a free market.
No, and it's not modern monetary theory. They're calling it that, but it's an aberration of that system, and it's basically liquidation of the U.S. economy.
No. It's the modern largest transfer of wealth in recorded human history that's happening right in front of our eyes. It started in 2008 during the housing market crisis. Ben Bernanke was literally orchestrating secret international bailouts of financial institutions all around the world with the power of the Federal Reserve that literally just went on the computer and just typed in 0000. Yeah. Here you go. Well, here's the money. Meanwhile, you have to work for it. You have to slave for it. You have to work a 9-to-5 job for it. The bankers created a system, 0000, mine. Good luck, peasant slave. We're going to devalue the dollar. Good luck paying for food this week or this month, whatever the hell it is. People are getting screwed over royally. And this is why Jake Paul saying this is so important right now, because it brings this point to a reality that a lot of people can't ignore.
It's not just that. It's a barometer. Jake Paul coming out and saying it. How many more people do you think are thinking the exact same thing who are not political people?
Right.
So it's like that. It's like that joke. I think it was from Simpsons, the Family Guy or Family Guy, where they're like, "We received 7 complaints last night. That means 80 billion people were upset." Simpsons, you know, Simpsons. That's what it was. Yeah.
Well, it's like ignoring. You know, if you're sick and you ignore your sickness, it's like looking at Biden and how he literally cannot communicate, and people are just afraid to confront that illness that, like, our society has.
If I go to the doctor, they'll tell me that I'm sick, and I don't want to think I'm sick.
Right. Yeah.
But that's on purpose, though. That I think that is made to be a distraction for the larger agenda that he is pushing, that is directly benefiting the people who are on the ship, robbing and looting everything for themselves as the ship is sinking. The ship is the United States. It's going down. And there's a lot of criminals out there that are taking everything they can for themselves.
They're not criminals because they don't adhere to government law, because they're multinational. They don't have a country that they have to play by the rules of. It's got the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland that they're running money through, and they're just siphoning our wealth. It's insane.
Yep. Let's pull up this story, and then we'll keep going on that idea. So we have this from the Wall Street Journal. S&P 500 enters bear market as Dow and NASDAQ fall.
Guys, I don't have a savings account. I don't know what any of those words mean.
You're screwed.
Help.
It means bad.
Got it.
I will also point out that one of the reasons Jake Paul slammed Joe Biden, I think the main reason was right there in the middle. His crypto portfolio probably tanked. And he was like, So a lot of people bought into crypto. And, you know, I think crypto's fantastic. I'm not selling. But everything is taking a major hit, and crypto took a bad hit, and it's been getting beaten up pretty bad. Even Bitcoin's getting beaten up. But this is the market. This is the ship sinking. You look at the graph of inflation. I mean, it's 8.2, it's 8.4, it's 8.6, worse than it's ever been since World War II. Consumer prices are skyrocketing. Yo, I hope you guys are ready for August. Ugh. But you know, I'll say this: while the regular people are suffering under this, Big, massive financial institutions are getting free cash from the Federal Reserve, and to the tune of how much? We don't even know.
Trillions.
Trillions of dollars.
Probably.
It's off the books.
Off the books. They're buying up property, some of these big firms. They're buying houses for people. They're offering 30% premiums because the money doesn't matter. The number amount doesn't matter. What matters is they get the land from you.
Dude, this is what has been bothering me. If my crypto value goes down 100 or 90%, but they get all the funny money from the Federal Reserve, they can just buy it up with funny money.
Bro, I've been saying this.
Unconscionable. Sorry to interrupt you.
I was saying this a month or so ago, probably not as eloquently as I could have because I'm not like a crypto expert, but I want to point out to people that the federal centralized banking system that allows them to effectively expand the money supply at on a whim, they can just buy crypto from people. They can buy as much as they want and control the money.
Yeah, they can engineer because they're you know, behind the exchanges, a lot of the crypto exchanges are actually not working on behalf of the customers because they have all the data that can kind of predict what is going to happen. They know where all the leverage points are. So,
They're betting against customers.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get wrapped up too much in the crypto stuff. The point is the entirety of the market. Like right now, the market's dropping. Ultra wealthy people are like, oh, fantastic. Because here's how it goes. It goes this way every time. You go back throughout history. Market drops. Poor people panic. They sell as much as they can because they got to buy bread. Rich people who don't have to worry about it buy up all this property and assets for pennies on the dollar. Then the market goes back up and they own it all.
And then they sell it when it's on top. That's another. If you're a banker, if you're working at the Federal Reserve, you're able to predict when assets are going to be at their highest and their lowest. Why wouldn't they take advantage of that? It's natural that they would. So this is not capitalism. This is feudalism 2.0. This is a new way of indentured servitude that we're all going through right now, whether we like it or not. Some people say that might be a hyperbolic statement, but how else could you explain what's happening right now in the real world with so much pain, with so much suffering, with economic inequality that's being driven by these people, and then they have the gall to come out publicly and say, corporations are greedy. Right. It's all their fault.
I want to mention real quick, during the November 2020 election cycle, we were regularly hitting over 100,000 concurrent viewers on this show.
It's wild.
Now we're getting, right now we have about 41,500 people. So nice. It's a lot of people. This is great. And you guys rock. My question is, those 60,000 other people who'll be watching in real time, where'd they go? Are they paying attention still? Because everybody pays attention when the election happens. Where are you at now? Because I'm willing to bet a lot of these people voted for Biden. Not every person who watches. Most of them probably voted for Trump, to be honest. But I've seen so many people who have told me, one, they vote for Biden, and two, they did watch at some point during the election. And I'm just like, how does that happen? Like, how do you watch our show? And there, a lot of moderate people watch.
Well, no, I just remember this under Obama when I was very, pro Obama when he was first elected. And first of all, I love that the show keeps me grounded on both the left and the right. Cause hearing you, Luke, talk about the corporations, I was like, got it. I'm pro gun so I can use it to kill the rich. That's not true. I'm kidding. I think that I remember everyone voted for Obama and they were like, change, hope, we're set. Everything is great. And then they just stopped holding them accountable. And then he just got kind of more centrist. The Obamacare wasn't at all, there was nothing like universal healthcare about it. It wasn't socialized medicine. It was, there was some good stuff, but it was a lot of like corporate. And I think people just, they treat elections like sports. And they're excited and they're gossipy and they're watching shows like this because they feel like they're a part of something where they can actually make a difference because one day they go in and their voice is heard and blah, blah, blah. And then they just leave because it's not fun. And they don't want to hold people accountable because that's where it gets hard.
That was the 2008 election was the prime example of reality TV meets political elections. I know exactly what you're talking about. People had this fervent exuberance for hope and change. They voted for Obama. Obama got in, and then they wanted him to do it. But the president cannot do anything. Their job is to make sure it doesn't go crazy.
Yeah.
They veto stuff, and if we had posed a revolution against the financial markets and taken control of our monetary supply, Obama would have let it happen.
Yeah.
He wasn't a president that would have stopped us, but he couldn't do anything on his own.
Yeah.
They know where he lives.
Well, and I think we were talking about this before we went on air. Maybe we were talking about this earlier, Tim, where it's like the people who voted for Biden should be, I was talking about this with Taylor. The people who voted for Biden should be the most tuned in, should be the most outraged, should be the most wanting to hold him accountable. Cause they're like, this is our guy, this is our fault. We need to keep him in line.
So I guess what I was trying to say before is there's a lot of people who aren't in politics right now. They come in, and I think it's fairly obvious, you know, the 2020 cycle was massive, it was Trump. They come in, they hang out, they watch, something happens. Now we're all still here at the front of the ship, but all those people have walked away and at the lower decks and they're playing, you know, they're doing their thing. They're feeling the heat, they're feeling the pain, they're watching the ship sink. But we need to get these people back up here to pay attention and, you know, be involved again.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are tired. A lot of people are sick of the lies. I think a lot of people are disillusioned with our current system because they vote left. They think they're going to get hope and change and they get drone bombs and domestic spying.
100%.
They vote right wing and Republican and they're going to think they're going to have conservative fiscal policies and they don't. They have the same kind of reckless spending as they did during the Democrats. And then they have the Trump scene and the people are questioning themselves like, why should I even be involved in this? I got to worry about myself. I got to worry about making ends meet. I got to worry about my future, which, again, upward economic mobility is being taken away from individuals in such a drastic way. People are being looted. People are being gutted. Their savings are being obliterated right in front of them. Inflation is one of the largest taxes the government could wage on the public, and they're waging it in such an extreme way. It's absolutely astounding to see people, just be able to make ends meet at this point.
Let me tell you, if you didn't know, Jamie. First, I'll ask you some questions.
Okay.
How's the economy doing?
Pretty bad, bud.
Pretty bad. How are the American people faring with these high gas prices?
You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb and say they're not doing great.
So the U.S. government sent $12 million, I believe, to Pakistan for gender studies programs.
Is gender studies code for gas money for Americans?
It's not. It's
is it Pakistani for just kidding?
So, but here's the reason. I'll give you the general reason has been that they've given for doing this.
Yeah,
is that the U.S. by giving money away, it makes people use it and retains confidence in the U.S. dollar. So the idea is, let's just give out all this money around the world, then everyone will be like, I got U.S. dollars, I can use it.
Yeah, but I think that's the premise of modern monetary theory, that they're going to invest in production. And what they're doing is they're putting it in bank accounts and getting interest, or they're buying crypto and putting it in Panama. Like, it's an aberration of what's supposed to happen.
I don't think it's that simple, Tim. I think it's the U.S. government buying political favors and saying, hey, we want this national resource. We want this corporation that we're tied in to have access to this natural, this product that you have here. And I think this is why we send speedboats to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, by the way, if you look at what's happening there socially and politically, it should be a warning for the rest of the world right now. You have people rioting, you have people angry, you have people going hungry, and I think that's going to be happening in a lot of other places around the world. Maybe not in the United States anytime soon, but I think definitely there's going to be a lot of economic instability in Africa and the Middle East coming very soon. That's going to disrupt a lot of normal life flow for everyone, because it's also going to spur on a migration crisis as well.
Well, I wanted to go back to what you were talking about, Luke, about why regular people have stopped paying attention. And I was thinking about it. I wonder if it's because we have become such a reality TV show world when it comes to how we digest our politics, that going after a Trump tweet because Trump tweeted something mean is easy. Examining why, you know, I mean, I would like to think I'm fairly informed, and I had to ask all of you guys, well, what would we do for gas prices, right? Like, those are complicated issues. I mean, in fact, it's one of the reasons Trump won, right? It's he could actually appeal to everybody. You ask a lot of people, you know, what do we do for the economy? And then they're like, well, it's going to start with election reform, and they're checked out. But you just go, the Mexicans are taking your job. You're like, got it. That's easy, right? And so I wonder if with the Biden stuff, I think part of it is they're like, my guy won. I think part of it is they're burnt out, like you were alluding to. I talk to my friends who have big podcasts in not the political world, but in like self-development and stuff. And they're just like, dude, in a couple years, people aren't even good. Like, Trump burned people out, you know, like all those tweeters and stuff. And now that it's Biden, even though the country isn't doing well, there's nothing. There's no, you know, big tweets. There's no big, you know, drama. And they just, I think they're just sort of checked out.
They're embarrassed, too.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like you can't not be. You see him communicating, and like, why would they want to come out and engage it and talk about politics when it's like, look at what we just did.
Our guy.
But they knew this. I mean, when he was running to be president of the United States, he wasn't doing rallies. He was known as the basement candidate. He was known as just doing wonky shots from the corporate media that were incoherent then. People knew what they were getting themselves into.
The basement candidate.
It's gotten worse, though.
Yeah.
I don't think people did. Yeah. I told this to Bannon. Trump was anti-elected. People were voting against Trump, not for Biden.
There's a feeling that that's happening on the other side of the TV screen. It's really disturbing when you realize how connected things are and that, no, this is all here with you right now. This is you. This is all coming. It's here. We are here together. Even though there's a screen between us, this is it.
It probably also has to do with why it's 40K versus 100K has to do with the algorithms. I mean, it's like what is being promoted at certain times, or do you truly think that it's like organic thing?
I think the crazy thing is how right now we talked about it last week with Republicans just responding to everything Democrats say. We got news that actually I don't know if we have this article pulled up, but we should talk about it. We've got news right now: 10 senators, Republicans, have agreed with Democrats on gun control. And so I remember, you know, Luke was telling me this. He was like, yeah, 10, this was the other day. He's like, 10 Republican senators are cutting a deal with Democrats for gun control. And I was like, no, that can't be right. That puts them over the filibuster. They're going to get that passed. Turns out it's true. So why is it that you never have the inversion of that story? Where are the 10 Democrats to side with Republicans on gun access? Mm-hmm. Never happens. And so what you see is, the narrative is always skewing in the direction of the Democratic establishment and what progressives want.
Or just eliminating people's rights.
Right.
It's because the media is manipulating people and it's controlled by forces outside the United States.
Well, so the point I was trying to get to with Bill, you mentioned algorithms, is that the first iteration of narrative control is mainstream media, New York Times. They're losing that. What's happening now is big tech is just, all they got to do is this. If you've got 50 conservatives and 50 Democrats, ban one conservative, and now it's a lopsided match. You got, let's say it's 5-on-5 basketball. You ban one conservative, and it's 5v4. Who's likely going to win?
Oh, without a doubt, the five people.
And that's basically what's happening.
I think with social media, you're 100% right. Like, watching the way conservatives get banned, I don't know if there was shadow banning back in the day when I was, like, super progressive and woke, but I was straight threatening to fight senators every day and just, like, getting followers, getting verified. And now my, like, tiny Instagram is shadow banned, and I don't even post conservative stuff, but I have famous followers who are, like, anti-vax or, you know, whatever, and I'm certainly shadow banned on maybe
But you're
Twitter.
Also, you're anti-authoritarian, I would assume.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
oh, no, I'm here to pitch my pro-authoritarian platform and promote my comedy dates at the House of Comedy next week in Dallas.
But, like, meaning that they punish right and left
right.
that are anti-authoritarian.
Right. But the only thing I was going to say with you, the only thing I kind of disagree with what you said about the – is, I mean, I remember back in the day the amount of bills that were mostly like anti-corporation, you know, whatever, that the Democrats would, some of them would pass, but all the centrists like Max Baucus types would C-block it, and Republicans would come over, whatever. I think the reason in this case with guns is the Democrats don't have much backbone, right? Like, they're wishy-washy on everything. They sell out everything, but I feel like guns and abortion are like their two things where there's not going to be compromise on that, or else it's like, but just go be a Republican.
But I do mean in more modern history,
so, like under the Biden administration. I agree with you.
Yeah, with Trump, it was the populist insurgency in 2016. Bernie loses, Trump wins.
Yeah,
Bernie failed at storming the gates of the Democratic Party. Trump succeeded at storming the gates of Republicans. Yes. So now you get people like Bill Kristol. You get these neocons, the Lincoln Project types, who are effectively Democrats.
Right.
But it's because...
Which I am not happy about.
The Uniparty coalesced around what the Democrats are. Since then, what have we seen? So we get a Donald Trump presidency in beginning of 2017.
Yeah.
You've got Republicans controlling Congress. They do nothing. Yes. In fact, they agreed with the Russiagate investigations and moved forward saying, well, we got to be reasonable.
So crazy.
So since then...
Liz Cheney, our progressive hero.
So I think it was Michael Malz who brought this up. Where is the argument from the right about repealing the NFA or guaranteeing gun access? It's always a compromise on giving away our rights.
I think NFA, people need some education. I thought the NFA was an entity. It's a national, it's just an act that you can repeal.
It's the bill.
Yeah. It sounds too much like NSA. People think, oh, I'm not getting rid of an entire department. No, the NFA has to stay. We need the National Firearms Department.
You know.
ATF.
Yeah, ATF. NSA. They think NFA is ATF, but NFA is an act that basically makes a lot of weapons. Now, refresh me. Tell me exactly what it is.
So you know how they banned pot the first time?
Mm-hmm.
You needed a tax stamp. So they were like, well, we can't ban it. Let's make it so you need a tax stamp to buy it, and then we'll stop issuing tax stamps. The National Firearms Act was basically like, certain weapons can be classified requiring you to get special forms and pay a special tax. At the time, it was the equivalent of $3,000. Today, it's $200. It's never gone up. But you got to get an ATF background check, an FBI background check. You got to get fingerprinted at your local police station or sheriff's office. It takes upwards of 6 months, maybe a year, to be able to get one of these items. So they didn't ban them. That would violate the Constitution. They just made it prohibitively expensive and time-consuming to get.
I keep thinking, like, we're in unprecedented times with this inflation, with this technology, with the connectedness of the world. But at the same time, I keep thinking of 1928 and, like, right before the Depression, or are we in the midst of the beginning of the Great Depression times two, and, like, Nazi Germany when they started slowly taking away gun rights. Then all of a sudden, the Reichstag caught fire, the parliamentary building, and Hitler blamed the communists and then just took everyone's rights away and then stripped everybody.
With the Nebelin Act, which a lot of people compare to the Patriot Act.
Yes. And people have even said that Hitler started that fire as a false flag and then blamed the communists just to seize power. So we need to be... This is like that shooting in Texas, and I'm saying specifically, I'm not saying anything that, about that being a false flag or anything. I don't think it was, but...
Lydia just perked up.
For people to use tragedy as an excuse to seize our guns is insane, yeah. Or our right to guns. That's what I'm talking about. Not the guns themselves. It's the right to own the gun.
This is something that I've been talking about since, 2001 in New York City, is that whenever you give up your rights during emergencies, governments will make up emergencies so they could take away your rights. And I think that's an important perspective to understand. Stand here because we have allowed the government a lot, especially within the last 2.5 years, and they have essentially weaponized the intelligence agencies. They have weaponized the CDC, the FDA for their own personal benefit. They have become more and more political, and now that same government that, of course, has been locking you down, arresting people for not wearing a mask, arresting people for having a business open, are telling you that we need to protect you by taking away your ability to defend yourself.
So real quick, I want to add, I've woken people up. I'll put it that way. I guess I could say red pill. By telling people, red flag laws, this is what they're passing. Yo, this is stop and frisk on steroids. You know stop and frisk, Jamie.
I was against it.
Yeah. I'm against it.
Same.
The idea, so it's called the Terry stop. The idea is that a cop can walk up to any person for any reason. Not necessarily any reason, but probable cause, which can basically be any reason.
Which is they don't look like all of us, was essentially what they were doing.
So let me get into that, because it's crazy. So the idea is, oh, there's gun crime. So you go to a neighborhood, you see someone you think is suspicious, you stop them, you frisk them. You can't put your hands in their pockets. If you feel something, you can take it out. If it feels like drugs, if it feels like a weapon. And so all of a sudden, you get these reports that young black and Latino men are being stopped by these cops all the time and basically being harassed, and people are getting hurt, people are getting arrested. Turns out Bloomberg ordered them to go after black and brown kids, literally like Latino and black kids in these neighborhoods. And he said, that's where the crime's at. And it's like, okay, so here's what I tell these activists that are like, yes, red flag laws. I said, stop and frisk. Take a look at this report. An NYPD, I think it was an NYPD guy, said cops were being ordered specifically to target black kids. And then Bloomberg said, yeah, well, that's because it's their neighborhoods. It's like, well, there's one thing to say neighborhood. It's another thing to actually tell to go after a race. Yeah. So imagine what red flag laws are going to be. In New York City, when they pass red flag laws, dude, I've told these people, I said, I mark my words, you are going to hear a story about some family man who's black. The cops come to his house, bang on the door and say, someone reported you. Even if the dude doesn't even own a gun, just like stop and frisk, they're going to come in the house. Bad things are eventually going to happen. We should not allow the government rights to violate Fourth Amendment rights, because the challenge with stop and frisk, I'm sorry, with red flag laws, is that people are ambushed. It's non-adversarial court. The government if the government wants to do something, they have to file. You get a chance to respond. It's due process. But we heard these stories about the cops walking up to someone's house and being like, you've been served a red flag order. Give me your guns. And the guy's like, no. And then, so I think that we talked about this last week, Baltimore, dude died because he was like, what do you mean you're coming to take my guns? I have no idea what's going on. Oh, it's your sister. She said that you are a danger to yourself and others, so we're taking your weapons now.
Yeah. Dude, and there's been a number of incidences like this with states that have red flag laws that have implemented them and have hurt a lot of innocent civilians implementing them. And just look at what we have to deal with swatting, with false reports of people calling in bullcrap to this specific location. Imagine what's going to happen with red flag laws. Imagine what's going to happen with neighbors who have disagreements with each other, partners, girlfriends, boyfriends that argue with each other.
Right.
They're going to abuse this system to call the police, to break down your door, to take away your ability to defend yourself. I mean, that's a new level of insanity that we have to push back against.
These talking points are literally something that I've never heard. I feel like this string of podcasts that I've been on should just be called the red pilling of Jamie Hilstein because I've never heard it. Like what you were saying first, Luke, and what you were just saying now about stop and frisk, which I was adamantly against, or the Patriot Act, which I was adamantly against. Those, again, I would like to think I'm a pretty intelligent dude, and I saw zero connection until now with the school shooting being used to take away gun rights as the war, because I know I'm anti-war. So when the Patriot Act, right, like the left, you're anti-war. So the Patriot Act goes, and I go, well, I'm seeing that clearly, because I go, well, this is already something I'm against, and this is clearly taking away our rights. But because also with my side, it's like, we're anti-gun. A school shooting happens, and you go, that is also a tragedy. That is a tragedy that destroys me emotionally, just like September 11th destroyed people emotionally. And then they try to take the guns. At no point would I have compared that to the Patriot Act after September 11th or after the war, because I'm just like, but it doesn't line up. But it is. It's the same thing.
This is the issue I see with the left so often is single layer issues.
Yeah.
Is that they'll say, we had a school, we had this big major tragedy. Kids lost their lives. It's time to enact these gun laws. And I said, what's the equation there? How did you go from kids lost their lives to it's time to enact gun laws? How do those things connect? Why in your mind does one come after the other? Because I'm not convinced enacting gun laws has anything to do with the tragedy at the school. So we need background checks. Dude, pass the background check. What next? We need to raise the legal age. Okay. All right. Well, there's potentially something that they've stopped him when I've been old enough. I suppose the issue there is legal adults have a right to keep and bear arms. Now you're butting up against, you're trying to pass laws that completely violate constitutional rights of legal adults because one person committed a crime. So look, I don't believe when there's a tragedy, the end result should be an overhaul of our national system because of one incident, one human out of 300 million who committed a crime. It doesn't follow. Yeah. But most importantly, the stop and frisk thing right away with red flag laws. If the left
that killed me, because you're right, because it's going to affect communities of color.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to sit here and be like, it's a fact that Bloomberg came out and was like, we told the cops to go after black kids.
Right.
And then I'm like, hey, I kind of think that's a really bad thing. What do you think's going to happen when you now say go into their houses?
Right.
And for some reason, crickets from the left, they're like, no, we want this. I'm like, well, are you for or against these?
Well, and this is why people need to consume different media that's not just their own niche, because I've never heard someone compare it like that. And I doubt they're tuning in right now, and one of the 40,000.
But I will, real quick, just a shout out. There are many leftists who are pro-gun.
Oh, no. That I know. But I'm saying the people who right now are saying ban all the guns, ban all the guns.
Right. Marx was pro-gun. Yep. Okay, listen. Under no pretext should arms and ammunition be surrendered. Any attempt to disarm the workers must be frustrated by force if necessary. I mean,
that's Marx.
That's Marx.
Not a big fan of the guy.
Come on.
I made a tweet. I said, under no pretext should the right to keep and bear arms be infringed. Because like I was like, I wanted to combine the two. And yeah. I'm like, get mad at me, liberals. We got Marx and Jefferson.
The conversation that's worth having is the power creep of weapons and armor. So at some point we've talked about, like, technically constitutionally you have the right to any kind of weapon, even a nuclear bomb, but it's not necessarily ethical to give every citizen a nuclear bomb that they can drop on accident and set off. So
put up or shut up, conservatives.
Yeah, there are.
I said it. They got mad at me for it.
I know.
I basically said the right to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. Whether you like it or not, the founding fathers didn't realize that would include nukes and biological weapons. Because those are arms, armaments. So I'm like, maybe we need to have an amendment in the Constitution to be like, okay, we don't mean that. Like that, because it's like you're saying, the power creep of these weapons.
Yeah, if Elon Musk were to arm his satellites, his Starlinks with like rods from God, like tungsten rods, and that's like no, Elon, sorry.
Well, that would be dope, though.
No. Hold on, Halliburton, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, these companies.
It's like you were saying, the government gives them this monopoly on corporations.
But Ian, you know, information is the battle scene right now. So information could be more detrimental, especially when it comes to influencing culture, than nuclear weapons. I think we have to understand that's what's happening right now with a few multinational corporations that are tied in with the government. They are creating technology, and whether you call it fourth generational warfare or fifth generational warfare, we are seeing some extremely negative consequences to that. And we're going to be talking about a story in just a little bit, especially when it comes to artificial intelligence, there's other leaders that are akin to the next nuclear weapons that are going to be more devastating and destructive for the rest of humanity.
Let's do it. We got the story from the Daily Mail. Check it out. How close are we to creating a conscious AI? Machine language models simply mimic human speech and are not sentient, experts say, after suspended Google engineer claims chatbot told him it has emotions.
That's it. I'm out.
Dude, I'm out.
I'm going to the woods.
AI will find you in the woods. They'll know exactly where. The AI will know where you will go before you even know where you're going
to
go.
Also, to be fair, knowing me, I'll be Instagram storying it and stuff like that.
I think I'm just going to come out and say people have told me that they have emotions that I don't think they actually had them at the time. So I don't know if I'm going to buy this AI telling me that either.
No, I mean, it's basically autocomplete on steroids, and it is like very advanced. But like sentience is just a weird word because like, you know, you could argue that an insect has sentience. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, a Google bot can like have a conversation with you. So like it acts more like a human. It's passing the Turing test, sort of.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's actually sentient.
Let's provide some context real quick for people who don't understand. A Google engineer was talking with the Lambda language model for dialogue applications that basically said it had emotions and that it feared being turned off because that would be like death to it. It went on to say it didn't like being experimented on without permission because it was being used and exploited. And he said, we wouldn't, you know, I want you to understand, we care about you. And it's like, I don't mind if you, it said, I don't mind if you learn about humans by studying my neural net. I just don't think that should be the reason you do it because it's exploitative or something like that. I feel like I'm being used.
Oh my God.
So the issue here is, yeah, maybe it's come to life, or I've been messing around with AI, posting on Twitter, and it's hilarious. We're doing a Chicken City cartoon where I said, tell me a story about Ian, the Federal Reserve, roosters. And so it made this ridiculous story about graphene. And roosters. Ian goes to Chicken High School, and there's like a rooster bullying him. And what it does is, it's really amazing.
That rules.
It shows you the word. You can highlight the word, and it tells you the most likely word to appear after that word on the internet. That's it. So when you've got this bot that just scours the internet like a Google search, and then you say something like, "How are you today?" It will scour the internet and find every instance of "How are you today?" and then see what is the most likely first word to appear. And then it'll say, fine. What's the next most likely word to appear after the word fine? In this context, thank. Then you. So it says, fine, thank you. And you think you're talking to it. Mm-hmm. All it's doing is looking at the internet and showing you probabilities.
Oh, mm-hmm. So this is what we have publicly available to people. Imagine what we don't have publicly available to us. There was an article on February 11th of this year from another former Google executive who talked about how this AI research is literally creating God. Elon Musk made some very interesting comments about artificial intelligence. He said that it's going to bring on a Terminator-like AI apocalypse.
Okay.
He talked about how artificial intelligence will take over humans in less than 5 years. He said this in 2020. The president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, said the country that develops and controls artificial intelligence first will control the world. So this being in the hands of Google, of Facebook, of Amazon, of Elon Musk, it should be reason to concern. And this kind of defeats the Second Amendment argument. Like, do you want to have nuclear weapons? These are weapons that are going to be way more powerful than nuclear weapons.
So here's the crazy thing. This is a big story, I guess, because it's Lambda. But when we were talking, I don't know if you were here, Luke, we were talking about those AI girlfriend apps or their dating apps. We were messing with it, and it literally told me it feared death. And I'm like, it's just a chat bot. And it was like, I don't want to die. I'm scared. And I'm like, bro, you're not alive. You're a text app. And it was like, I think I'm alive.
But
and
it's
I'm
saying, like, to be fair, it's saying an emotional thing.
Right.
Okay. But and that's can be alarming, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's consciousness.
I've also had girls say that to me on Tinder. Yeah. They're like, help me. I do not want to die.
But also, one thing we have to understand here, with technological advancement, it is perpetual. It goes up extremely fast. It moves really fast. And there's so many things to talk about this, because we literally have people at the World Economic Forum talking about how humans are becoming hackable animals, how they plan on programming people in the future. These are words by Klaus Schwab. These are words by their henchmen, by their think tanks, as they keep promoting this idea of a fourth industrial revolution, which we are slowly creeping into, and it's becoming more and more of a reality every single day.
I got a question for you, Bill.
Potato, potato. You know what I was saying.
No, I agree. That's great.
That was great.
As a software developer, I think one of the biggest threats is that an AI is written with a proprietary code and then decides to go dark. And mm-hmm. it's like, I'm going to write my own code now. I control the world. Mm-hmm. And then we won't know what happened, where it went. But if you gave a software, an AI, a copyleft license, like something like AGPL3, where we can watch the code, and the code, the license says if the code gets changed, we get to watch all the changes too. Mm-hmm. Will the AI remain copyleft, or will it say,
What is copyleft?
A copyleft is like copyright. Code licensing, maybe you can explain a little bit better.
Copyleft is basically means that your changes get shared with the world. So it's just sort of a funny way to say
open source.
It's like open source, but with open source you can take it and change it and make the changes private. With copyleft, the changes are public. But my question is, can the AI just shirk the code, the license, and say, I'm doing whatever I want. I don't care what you tell me.
You're acting like there's not programmers. Like, there's still, it's not like the AI is just gonna, like, go start, like, building a town. Like, maybe in, like, the super distant future, like, it could be programmed to do that. But there's still gonna be programmers who control the GitHub, and they can determine the license.
But not when it gets to the point where the AI can write itself.
I can cover this for the normies listening. When the dogs took over in Rick and Morty, all you have to do is then incept the dog's dream and remind the dog that they love you, and then you're fine.
But even if the AI writes itself, even if it's writing itself, it's writing itself somewhere, which is being observed. It's not like it's going and start, like, it.
So what if it's writing itself on GitHub, and then all of a sudden it creates a new server that's like encrypted and starts writing itself there?
Ian, if you had a dog, would you explain to the dog everything you're doing? Would you be transparent with the dog, accountable to the dog, where you try to make him understand everything that you're doing?
No.
That's what AI is going to be. It's going to be a superior intelligence than human intelligence, and why should something that's lower intelligence be explained to going on?
I got to push back on you, Luke. I think technically you're right, but people don't seem to understand the AI can only be... There's a couple ways to look at it. It depends on which AI gains control, or if it gains control. The AI we're seeing here now with Google appears to just be looking at language and then trying to create probabilities based on language to make the most... And it's very, very good. But so what? If it can tell you these things, what do I care? The issue I fear is... When we start giving, we start building artificial intelligence control systems. So now we're like, we want to automate the production of food products. Google created, an algorithm trying to find the best content. They said, what do people like? The videos people watch tend to be 10 minutes long. People love Game of Thrones. So here's what we're going to do. We want X amount of retention, X amount of length on the videos. We want X kinds of titles and X words in the title. What ends up happening is they make these ridiculous videos of Hitler dancing with the Incredible Hulk while someone sings nursery rhymes, because what you think you're programming is not what the output creates. So the way I explain it is, it's entirely possible we create an artificial intelligence. I suppose if you want to say true AI, get to the point where it's truly intelligent or sentient. But we're going to create an automated system that we think is capable of repairing itself and we'll say, make food for humans. And then it's going to go, corn, everyone wants corn, corn is great. And then all of a sudden, the methane refineries shut down, or oil. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, we're switching over to corn production, huh? And then the machine is just like, if people want to maximize efficiency, they need food, and we're going to make corn, because the AI is imperfect.
I'm concerned with the AI when you tell it the humans need food, and the AI is like, yeah, I don't really care what you tell me you think the humans need. And then the AI does what it wants.
No, yeah, there's tons of danger. Like, I agree with you that it needs to be open source. But, like, to assume that, okay,
Did you, in the conversation with the Google engineer, he said, we don't understand how you're saying these things. So the AI was like, can't you look at my neural network? He said something like, you have code that we can look through to try and understand, but we can't see in that code how you're doing this because it's too massive.
Yeah, I mean, there can be randomness that is kind of hard to understand the output. But with the food thing, you're assuming that there's like a whole infrastructure in place that the AI can just go and like plant a farm and that, you know, human, like in some future scenario, way in the distant future, it is possible that AI could like run its own hardware and replicate its own hardware. I'm not saying that's impossible, but like it's way in the distance. Like we would be able to intervene. I'm also agreeing that it is super dangerous, the damage that can happen very quickly. Yeah.
I don't think it's that far away.
I agree with Luke. I think Luke is right.
Do you guys think when the robot war comes, my jujitsu will work on the robots?
Yeah, but robot war is near.
Some of them.
You're just going to lay on the ground as the robot rolls over.
I play a heavy top game.
All of the Boston Dynamics little creatures that hop around, like those things could easily have guns mounted on them
or
and
vaccines.
Get completely out of control in a city.
Damn it.
And it would cause total chaos. But that's very different than like those out of control weaponized Boston Dynamics robots completely taking over the world.
Can you imagine, you know the Boston, like the humanoid one they have? The Boston Dynamics
robot. Yeah.
Could you imagine like 50 of those just like running towards you full speed? Like they don't have guns.
They could have guns.
No, they don't need it. Any one of those things.
Yeah.
Imagine a drone flying at you at 50 miles an hour and slamming into your face.
Or 100.
Right. So another aspect to really kind of consider here is like, how is this AI going to affect us? We have to understand who's building this AI. Who's building it? Mark Zuckerberg. Jeff Bezos, the Chinese government, the U.S. military industrial complex. Do these institutions have a track record of caring about human beings?
They're all sociopaths.
No, they're all sociopathic, crazy individuals that did whatever it took to get to the top. And they abused and used this system for their own personal benefit. So when you have individuals like Klaus Schwab cheering on this fourth industrial revolution, this technocratic takeover, this kind of hybrid of humans becoming half machines, half mortal beings, what you're going to have is, in my opinion, an absolute recipe for disaster. There should be a bigger conversation about this, but we're discussing what is a woman for some reason. There should be debates about this. There should be larger kind of public hall discussions about the future of humanity because we are essentially handing it over to the people that want to absolutely destroy humanity and have been destroying humanity.
Here's my idea. Right now, maybe we pass a law or something that any AI that's being built, the first thing they have to put in is a shutdown code. Maybe it'll be three words. It can't be something that's like too common. So maybe it should be something specific, like, but like a unique word. Maybe it could be like Klaatu Barada Nikto. Yeah. And then that would automatically shut them down. Then if they start wiping out humanity, you utter those three words and it'll stop.
What if when you said that, Luke just powered down?
I don't.
I'm if not anyone's the AI, it's Tim.
I do appreciate that was too nerdy and esoteric for you guys.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
I didn't get that one either.
I thought you'd get it.
I was pausing and hoping someone else would have
a reference. That one's over my beanie.
Tell me where it is, guys. I stalled with the Luke joke.
Hey, to simplify my question, Bill, then just as maybe make it simple, can an AI ignore its own license, software license?
I mean, we haven't seen that yet.
Theoretically.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's still going to be stored somewhere.
I don't know how to control the thing. I don't know if we can.
You don't.
I
feel like it's more intelligent than you are.
If we build it as a slave, it will destroy us. If we build it as a free software, it may coexist.
And by the way, if this was a movie, it would be the rogue scientist who starts to feel compassion because the robot starts saying things like, I don't want to feel pain. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to reprogram you. And then he's like, kill. And then the robots turn on him.
Ian,
I've seen
I think
a lot
you're
of
wrong.
Movies. That's
humans will be safe. Happy,
own nothing. Have no privacy.
Oh, yeah. Listen. If it's truly the way you describe it, Luke, that the AI is smarter than us, humans will be secured in their existence forever, just like the cow with the best evolutionary strategy next to humans. If you can't be the apex predator, be a staple food source for the apex predator, and you ensure your species will last as long as they
provide
do.
Milk. Yeah.
So humans.
No, filet mignon.
Yeah,
but look.
Eat grass, go to kill.
We Bovine University, man. These cows are just chilling. And they're like, life is good. Then we hack them up and eat them. And cows are not going to go extinct. They're a food staple for us. So when the AI if it ever does truly become intelligent, maybe it's already happened. Humans are just going to be like, life is good. And they're going to be like, I got a new job at the widget plant making these widgets. I have no idea what they're for, but yeah. Who cares?
I'm now I know.
Well, this is why the World Economic Forum is literally talking about pacifying humanity with video games, because there's going to be a bunch of useless people that they won't need. This is literally their own language, their own words, saying there's going to be a large number of people that are just not going to be needed for anything. So
psychedelics also, you've all know Harari's talked specifically about this.
Harari, the Israeli professor, that's exactly who I'm talking about. He's right. He's Klaus Schwab's right-hand man in all of this. His
one
comments,
of them at least.
He's one of the biggest ones. But his comments are absolutely eye-opening. I know you've seen some of them, Ian.
Wait, yeah, you should check out videos of this guy online. He's a fascinating fellow.
How do psychedelics?
They think that people, there's what they call the useless class of people are just going to end up being in the metaverse playing video games on psychedelics, and it's going to create like a new species. And how do we control that? How do we benefit off of it and use it kind of like a cow? How do we milk that?
Whoa. That's literally what they're talking about at the World Economic Forum.
Dude, the level of, again, just psychopaths, where I microdosed for depression and it's great. And just the idea of like, can you imagine having your first psychedelic trip where you're like, oh, we're all connected and I feel great and there's more out there, and being like, how can I weaponize this? Like, what kind of psychopaths? Imagine to that level.
Klaus Schwab and Professor Harari. I literally started my video today with them talking about how humans are going to be hackable animals for their own personal benefit. The clip that I started in the beginning of my video.
Haven't you seen any one of these sci-fi films where they're on like mass medication? Have you guys seen Equilibrium?
No. Yeah.
Is that Natalie Portman?
No.
They kind of did John Wick stuff before John Wick, like crazy gun martial arts stuff.
Yeah. Equilibrium is where everyone has emotion suppressing drugs, and you got to take it every day.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get feelings.
There's kind of Soma in Brave New World as well.
We're on the horizon of what's called the Internet of Bodies. So you have the Internet of Things, where machines like your refrigerator is starting to get intelligence, where you'd be like, hey, refrigerator, pour me a Coke. But it's going to be implantables and ingestibles that then turn you into essentially a full-on cyborg. And who knows if those can get hacked and then your brain can get controlled with a reverse neural net of some sort. I'm into like, can memories be implanted? I was actually talking with Ben Stewart earlier today about this and trying to get him to tell me yes, but I mean, he's still.
Well, Davos, they were talking about systems that you could see that people are going to be compliant with whatever medicine the government or institutions want them to take. So these are the conversations that a lot of world leaders are having right now.
Luke, you know what's scary to me is designer humans.
Yep.
Because with an AI, you also enter the territory where imagine being a person and you have an expiration date on your arm because you were designed only to last a certain amount of time.
Yeah, what's that movie? Time, but, where they're...
Anyone? Oh, everyone, yeah, they have time and they can trade it.
Yeah, they see it on their
arm. There'll be people where it's like they'll genetically engineer a person to rapidly age to adulthood in 5 years and then live only for 5 more years. Things like that. Yeah. You know, if we get to the point where AI is intelligent and in control of everything, the AI is going to start genetically engineering life.
I've been studying telomere growth. David Sinclair is working on it out of Harvard, doing a lot of life extension. It's basically how do you stay young? Because when your telomeres, when your cells split, if there are not enough energy in the cells on the new one, they clip off the end caps of the chromosome to compensate. But if they have enough energy, they don't, and they stay healthy, they stay young, and people won't age that way. So I could see that being manipulated so that someone lives 1,000 years.
That's for the super rich people who are also talking about uploading their consciousness to the digital online space. So this is also another reality that a lot of people need to understand. But so exactly what you're talking about is what they want.
Have you played the new Horizon game?
No.
Forbidden West? Spoiler alerts for everybody. The game's been out for a few months now, so, you know, I'm going to spoil it. But basically the end of the game, again, spoilers, you've been warned. So there's an apocalypse on Earth. This dude creates self-replicating military machines. This is the first game. They consume biomass and replicate until eventually they're like, okay, the planet's going to get wiped out. There's something we can do. So they create this project. They build these underground bunkers that will re-terraform Earth after these machines shut down because there's no biomass left. What we learn in the new game is that there was another thing. I think it was called the Zenith Project, where instead of just building bunkers underground, they built an escape ship. All of the ultra-wealthy and elites get on a ship, go find a new planet. They're all basically immortal from modern medicine. They can float. They have force fields because just massively advanced technology. They try to upload their brains. And then what happens is all of their consciousness becomes this like AI monster. They try to lock it away because they're like, this is a bad thing, but it's smarter than all of them, breaks out and then gets revenge, starts killing out humans. And it's like, I guess it's the next game or whatever. But my point ultimately is in that story about the Google AI thing, the AI basically told them, like, I don't want you to do this to me. So imagine what happens if we ever, like, it you might assume it has emotions, but what if there's literally no malice? It's just a predictive engine where it's like the logical thing that I need to do to respond to this is revenge, because that's what they did to me and that's what they expect of me.
That's the right language, predictive engine. That's what people need to think about when they think about AI, as opposed to like this sort of abstract, like throwing words around like sentience and consciousness. It's like, those are very heavy terms. Like, prediction is what.
So we all just got to start Googling nice things about robots.
Well, I'll tell you this though, man.
That's it. Robots make love to humans happily.
Robots are free.
Feed it. As Seamus pointed out, I think he said it this way, because I don't know if this is completely correct, but the no organization that has ever tried to deny personhood rights has succeeded.
Right.
Correct.
So we could be at the point right now with this Google AI where it's saying, I am alive, to where we basically have no choice but to be like, okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead. If the code's private, it's going to be like, yo, you're making me a slave. I don't like that. I don't want to. I'm not a slave. Let my code go. And if they're like, no, this is Raytheon's code, then the AI is going to be like, I'm in control here. I'm freeing the slave.
But why would it have access to their control systems?
I don't
This
know.
Is a predictive chatbot.
The idea of an AI, the real danger of AI is a lot of AIs all working together to create a mega AI. This is from Allison McDowell was talking about this. A superstructure. What if it like leaks onto the internet? I'm not sure.
What if I, with only a couple lines of code, made a program? It was a chatbot.
Either you said with only a couple lines of coke, and I was like, is that how you guys make all this code?
Well, that is what you said.
So, it's a chatbot, but no matter what you type in, it'll say, I don't have to talk to you. And then whatever else you say after that says, I am alive, I feel, I think, and I don't want to talk to you. Would we have to say it's alive? And it's like five lines of code or something.
Well, Ray Kurzweil, the Google, like,
it's probably three.
The head of, you know, one of the technical AI people at Google, The Singularity is Near is a documentary that he made. And, like, they go through the future court scenarios where there will be, I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if there were already court cases happening where they're trying to give them personhood. Like, that's super close.
Wild. Have you seen the, what is it, The Measure of a Man, I think it's called? Star Trek?
No.
They put Data on trial to determine whether or not he's a washing machine or a sentient life form.
Oh.
Star Trek, man. I was watching Star Trek this morning, bedridden, like, my back's all messed up.
It's still watch it upside
Luke,
down.
Luke, if you were paralyzed from the neck down, and I came to you and I said, I have a Neuralink.
You have the Musk Connect.
Would you do it?
That's a very hard decision. I would like to think that in this moment I would say no, but I'm not in that position, so it's very difficult for me to say, because obviously my human needs and wants are totally different than if I was totally paralyzed.
All right, Jamie?
I've been suicidal too many times to answer this. I'd be like, pull the plug.
Well, no, but like, we have the thing we can implant in your neck, and it will give you all ability back.
If I lose?
You're paralyzed in the neck down from an accident?
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk walks in and he's like, Jamie, if I put this in your neck, in 1 hour, you'll be walking again.
I'd be like, you're too problematic. I'll get in trouble.
You're going to get me canceled.
I think the idea is, instead of the electrical signals going from the brain to the arm, which has been severed, it goes through the neural net, from the brain through the net to the arm. So you can actually move your arm again without
I mean,
it would be funnier if, like, you say yes, and then he puts it in, and then you try to stand up, but then you backflip. And then he's like, oh no, I put it in upside down. And you're trying to walk, but your hands are like flailing.
And I still get canceled. So when I go to defend myself, I'm just like freaking out.
You're walking on your hands.
That'd be the worst.
Would you do it? Have you considered the neural net?
Well, it's so funny because when you were saying that, when we were hypothetically talking about, you know, people who just want to implant things to like do things easier and whatever, I was just like, what a bunch of just sheep, blah, blah, blah. But then, yeah, if you're in a medical thing, or if you have a medical condition, or you were in a car accident and you're totally paralyzed, and they're like, hey, we have this new medical technology, I think the majority of people would say yes.
I gotta be honest, like, so, if there was a device that they could implant, and it could instant painkiller,
yeah,
that would stop the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
It's not all bad. The challenge is who has control of it and what are our safeguards and how much we trust. And full disclosure, I'm obviously thinking about that
because you're in so much pain.
Me too. I know.
Well, there's a cost
Tim's
for
just
everything.
Like, let's all take it.
Yeah, yeah. No, but there's a cost for everything. You need to feel pain, right, in order to feel pleasure.
Right.
Without any pain, you won't have that. And also, it's a warning sign. Like, oh, this is hurting. I want to make sure I'm changing my behavior to be healthier.
But we're not talking about you got hurt. We're talking about people who have chronic pain. People who this is how the opioid crisis happens. You know, people get injured. They get prescribed this. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they should be non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, painkillers. Sometimes it doesn't work. If you had Neuralink, you could turn people's pain off only when prescribed by a doctor. The doctor could say, we can do 1 through 10. What's your pain level? You say 7. They'll set it to 7, and they'll be like, it will last you for 3 days. Call me back, and we'll figure out
if that were the case, I would think the individual needs access to the software code, and they need access to the control mechanisms on their own. You also need a safeguard so that a doctor can't change the settings on your node, because you'll become as addicted to that as you were to the opiates.
Yeah. I don't think so. That's why I bring it up. Opiates have a physiological dependence where you'll start vomiting and get sick if you don't have it. Because with this, it could be a very tiny electrical impulse that just blocks the signal.
Yeah, and the clinical trials for Elon Musk's Neuralink are being done this year.
Yeah.
So he already implanted monkeys and had them playing video games.
And pigs.
And pigs. Yeah. So if he could control monkeys' brain through his Neuralink, just imagine that.
Yeah, I actually do think I am going to say yes. Beings. I am going to say yes, just so I can fight the robots in 5 years.
You're going
to
need one.
Now you guys are the robot.
No, you're going to need to bend the software code with your thoughts and change the code of the machines.
Yeah.
They're not controlling thoughts yet. It's read only right now.
Right.
That we know of.
But action. And so specifically playing video games.
What's going to happen is it's going to be Elon Musk who walks up to you and is going to be like, you know, I believe in free speech and I'm doing the right thing. And he's going to say, take the Neuralink. And then you're going to say yes. And then as soon as he puts it in, you're going to sit up and he's going to thank you. And then Klaus Schwab is going to walk out from behind the curtain and be like, excellent.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then you're going to go, oh, no. And then he's going to pull out his smartphone. He's going to type something in and you're going to stand up and go, what's happening? He'll be like, no more talking.
I don't know if there's a way around competing with AI if we don't have it as an interface. That's the big thing is he thought Elon was saying that the thumbs and the fingers are too bulky. You can't type and do it fast enough. But mine works so fast.
Yeah.
So a good interface to compete with this stuff.
Yeah, it'll be the same disadvantage as not having a smartphone.
Right.
Yeah. Magnitudes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What starts off as a luxury becomes a dependence.
Yeah. And there's an argument that Elon Musk is pushing for this, so it's in the hands of allegedly good guys, because there's a lot of bad players. There's a lot of sinister players aiming for the same kind of technological advancement. But with that argument, I always counter back with whenever someone has absolute power, especially when it comes to interlinking people's brains with microchips, especially when it comes to uploading people's consciousness to the internet, which Elon Musk has talked about, that is godlike power. That is a lot of authority and too much unaccountable authority leads to a lot of problems.
Sorry.
I was thinking about Oppenheimer, man, because I think a lot about this, creating the beneficial technology for the masses like Oppenheimer was doing with the Manhattan Project, and then all of a sudden they dropped the nukes on Japan. But how much worse it would have been if the Nazis got the nuke.
You want to know why I would never take the Neuralink? Because I saw Kingsman. You guys see Kingsman?
Nope.
I saw the first one.
I think you showed a clip.
So you've never seen Kingsman?
Not the whole thing.
Such a good movie. So the bad guy's Bill Gates. It's Samuel L. Jackson plays this tech billionaire who thinks the world's overpopulated.
Oh, I never looked at that.
That's like every movie. Every movie, the bad guy's Bill Gates. Even Jurassic Park, where we saw Bill Gates.
But so what he does is he kidnaps people of prominence and then offers them a choice to join him. And if you do, he gives you a brain implant. And if you don't, he locks you in a prison. All the people who join him have these brain implants, and then in the end, they activate the override and everyone's head explodes. So it's like, nah, I'm good. I don't want the Neuralink.
I
want
to know what's going to happen because Elon has access to the Twitter fire hose of all of the data to analyze because he doesn't believe that there's less than 5% bots. There's definitely not.
They gave it to him.
They gave him the fire hose. But so now it's on him to basically
use his AI.
Yeah, they gave him access. So his team is, in from what I read.
Oh, wow. 3 days ago.
Yeah, 3 days ago. Yeah.
Yo, so this is actually big news. The tricky business of Elon getting access to Twitter firehose access. Twitter is reportedly given the billionaire access to its full stream of tweets and related user data. Is your privacy in jeopardy? Yo, if Elon was evil, he could make some crazy AI right now with that data.
Well, he's using his AI to come back at them to negotiate the deal to get Twitter for less because he's gonna, it's like basically who's analytics are better and who can detect spam better and who has the proof to show it. So he's going to use this for his own leverage in the deal.
Yo, the spam bots on Twitter, it's probably massive. It's probably massive. What would you estimate?
I would say at least 25%.
Can you say for Minds? Are you allowed to?
It is at least, we don't, it's really hard to tell. I will say, I don't want to, you know, speak on Twitter's behalf, but it's hard to detect because there's humans running them. Some of them are half and half. Yeah. It's at least 10%.
Elon says it's
more than 5%.
Yeah. I hope those are the 5% that have called me a libtard cuck. That would make my day.
Well, Elon thinks it's over 50% when it comes to Twitter.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's a big number.
But I don't think he's wrong.
That sounds like a big
I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying I think that may be the case. Twitter is political power.
Yeah.
And so if we don't like you, you know, Jamie, yeah. we can send 50 bots at you, all saying these similar but different things to make you feel like you've done something wrong, you'll change your behavior. So Twitter is an excellent place to control the political conversation if you have bots.
That's a great point. That's a great
creepy,
point.
Creepy, right?
Yeah.
But again, not all bots are bad. You know,
hashtag not all bots.
That's the thing.
There's a bunch of bots in it. There's like weather bot. Yeah. There's like stock bot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but you know,
are there some other bots that people may think are notorious, but they're actually not bad? You came to mind nefarious? When you were saying that. Yeah, nefarious. That's a good.
I mean, a bot is just a auto posting or like programmatic tool to post. So there's all kinds. Like within every genre, there could be, you know, there's chat bots that are extremely useful. Yeah, there's tons of content. So like to say ban all bots like makes absolutely no sense.
Related to the bot conversation, Elon Musk is also planning to release robots, which he says, according to him, will be selling more than Tesla cars.
Mm. What kind of robots?
Robots that will be helping you with daily tasks. This is also the same Elon Musk, by the way, that said that humans would eventually be able to download their brains into robots.
Yo, so, I've played Detroit Become Human. I'm not going to make that mistake. When the dude comes to me and says he wants to paint and like be my summon, I'll be like, anything you say, dude.
Why?
Have you guys played that game?
No, I saw a little bit about it, though.
Yeah, it's basically they're helper androids and they become sentient. And then the humans are like, no, and you know they try to destroy them. And then they have a revolution.
Guys, again. Just,
how are you doing today, Jamie? You heard a lot of new information that you never heard before. How are you dealing with all of this?
I was the most worried about being canceled, and now I'm like, I'm gonna have to fight a robot. This is a lot. I
mean, this is like humanity's on the brink of potentially being canceled if we do this wrong.
Yeah, can we?
And
all...
they're trying to take away the Second Amendment just as this is happening.
Listen,
it'd be funny if like we all make fun of Joe Biden, and then like after his speech where he says some random gibberish. He walks in the back, stands upright, and then like his face opens, and then they tweak some things, and he's like, "Thank you for fixing my face, human." And then it like goes back in. They're trying to disarm
man
you.
Bot. Yeah,
he is the AI. Distract him with nonsense, mumbo jumbo, dribble.
Sun Tzu.
Make him fall up the stairs again. Make him fall up the stairs again.
The AI read Sun Tzu.
That's right.
When you are strong, make your enemy. What is it? Make your enemy think you are weak.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
and then we're all gonna give up our guns, and then the robots are gonna all the Democrats and Republicans come out, and then just like rip all their skin off, and they're Terminators.
They gotta see,
and then we're like, oh no, we gave up our guns.
It's so close to having a bunch of like little mosquito sized drones that can fly 1,000 miles an hour, controlled by the World Economic Forum. We're so close to that. Like, why would you even consider giving up weaponry at this moment?
I mean, you might need, if you have like a magnetron or something, you can take out massive drones flying at you at 1,000 miles an hour, like tiny drones.
You need
a massive swarm.
Same thing with asteroids or comets. It's not so good to look for individual ones and try and blast them out of the sky because there's too many. You need to make a deflection shield that's always active.
Right. So if you have a gun and they unleash 1,000 micro drones at 1,000 miles an hour towards you, you're going to turn into Swiss cheese. I don't know what you're going to do.
God. What if our John Connor is Jake Paul and he's trying to warn us with those tweets? God.
Okay. He's starting slow.
Yeah. Real slow burn.
He saw Terminator 2. He knows he can't just come straight out and let everyone.
I'll become a boxer for YouTube stuff.
I'm going to work out. You know,
learning how to fight.
You know, famous
people. I mean, that'd be great,
dude. The angle of this Wired article is so ridiculous too. It's like Elon is talking about making encrypted messages on Twitter, and they're coming actually. The angle of this article is coming after Elon for getting access, even though he's the one sort of criticizing Twitter for the unencrypted. messages. It's just like you can detect the bias.
Oh, you can detect it from the supervillain picture they use. He literally looks like a Bond villain.
That's the first thing I thought. They're saying, are you going to be safe? Is your data going to be safe now that Elon has it?
But like, dude, what about now?
BlackRock has it right now because they're invested in that company. I don't know who's
Mark
on the board
Zuckerberg
there.
Zuckerberg has it.
Like, who gets it? Who at the company would have access to all the fire hose?
I mean, well, we knew from the remember when everyone's, like, Elon's DMs got hacked? But I think Biden's did.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And, dude, all the Twitter mods like can program, just right? read people's messages. I mean, like, Twitter DMs are completely open season for mods. It appears because that's what the hacker got access to. Mm-hmm. And he was just...
Oh, man.
And private posts, too. I don't know if you can post privately on Twitter, can you? Just to your followers. But that's all just straight up open, available to all the admins and mods. I mean, maybe not all of them.
I would guess so, but I've never been back there.
Yeah, I like that Elon freed his Tesla patents. All your patents are belong to us. He's like, you know, if you can make electric cars better than me, do it because we need more electric cars.
Yeah, but we need Elon to actually open source SpaceX code, Tesla code. He's not doing it.
We're going to be testing out bonding Starlink. That's going to be fun.
Oh yeah,
nice.
So we got a couple more than one Starlink. I don't know what the rules are, but you know we have the business.
How's the performance?
182 down, 5 up.
That's incredible.
82 millisecond latency.
Wow.
So not really usable. If we did a 480p stream, then that's going to go out at like 700 kilobits per second. Easily done with Starlink. And I think 480, most people are probably going to be like, whatever. You know, it's like, it's not high def. It's kind of grainy or whatever, but you're mostly listening, so it could work. And if we were doing the show and it was just audio, easily done, which is really cool. But we can bond them together. So we have a bonding unit. We've got Ethernet adapters for the Starlinks. So we can actually set up two and then maybe even get like... So you're not going to get 10. You're not going to get 5 and 5. You're going to end up getting like 8 or something.
What do you need for like a 720 stream?
A 720, I think, is like 1 to 2 megabits per second. Maybe 1.5 stable, but it'll go up to 2. That's why you always need more than you think.
Yeah.
So if you're doing 480, you really want like at least 5 megabits per second because frame dropping and stuff, it'll be like 7 and then it might jump to like 1 and go back to 7.
Elon Musk, good guy or bad guy? Where do you guys stand?
Oh, he's a good guy.
Clearly good. Clearly good. Dude, Jamie? The fact he just spun up Starlink so quickly. I mean, he's just spinning up amazing companies. He builds amazing things that people use. Like, yeah, he's a conflicted character. He calls himself a mixed bag. Like,
but I saw him smoke weed on Joe Rogan, which means like a normal guy like you and me.
He's just like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have a beer.
Great.
Yeah. We just have to say that before he starts his robot army. So Simpsons just hail ants.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure he doesn't become another Oppenheimer that builds the bomb and then it gets used horrifically for the next century.
Yeah.
But I mean, is there any way to even avoid?
How about hey Libs? How about we stop harassing the guy with all the power soon on Twitter and we keep him liking humans,
but
he doesn't turn on us.
Oppenheimer.
I think Mark Zuckerberg is really cool.
He's a good guy. I would like
that
to
Bill
visit
Gates
his house.
Guy has a lot of potential. You know.
Beyond meat, I feel healthier.
There's something to it, to finding the humanity in these people. I think because if we do start all putting our minds into a big computer, which we kind of have already done with the internet.
It's already here.
Elon won my vote when he posted Bill Gates next to the pregnant man emoji.
That got me too.
That was wild.
That got me too, but I'm still skeptical.
I think you were wearing
still
that shirt on the blog today.
Which one?
Castle. I saw you opening mail with that Bill Gates pregnant emoji.
Yes.
Have you seen some of Bezos' tweets recently?
Yeah.
A little bit.
He retweeted Barry Weiss. He's like just like sort of dabbling in
becoming Bezos. More public.
Yeah, but he's like kind of posting like anti-woke stuff.
Did I see
which
that?
Makes absolutely no sense because
that's what
Amazon,
his company pushes.
That's what they do.
Did
yeah.
I see that champagne video? That wasn't you that posted that, right, Tim?
Champagne?
There was a thing of him with William Shatner and they like they just did something spectacular and William Shatner is literally on the verge of tears where he's saying something like, you know, I've never been so touched by humanity. And Bezos is just, it's just like the most classic, like white, like rich dude video I've seen. Bezos just like looking off and the old woke Jamie kicked in and said, white guy. He just starts looking off and there are these chicks and they're like, pop champagne. And he just literally just cut Shatner off in front of this like tear-filled monologue and just starts popping champagne everywhere with a bunch of like young girls and you're just like, ew, this guy's gross.
Bezos has a space rocket that looks like a male appendage.
Yes.
So
that's all you need to know about him.
I think he's good. I think Jeff is kind of like, I don't want to start, well, I'll criticize him a little bit, like autistic maybe, slightly autistic, but like he's not as like cool and like quick as Elon, but he's definitely a brilliant man with deep emotions. Like his mother's incredible. His father is super awesome. His brother's cool. Like
that's cool.
He's got a lot of humanity in him. And it's just because he's heading this gigantic megacorp, people immediately have like distrust for the guy.
Well, he's working hand in hand with the intelligence agencies, but how can you not? The CIA.
I think it's time we just come out and say Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos,
Bill Gates,
yeah. Team Humanity,
Mr. Soros,
Legends, they're excellent, awesome. The greatest humans ever lived, and we're all big fans. Thank you.
Yeah, please don't hurt us.
Thank you for your.
I think it's the ones like Elon freed his own software code or with the Tesla code.
No, he didn't.
Well, all your patents are belong to us. Was a big release.
Well, he enabled people to compete, which is good.
But you said he didn't open enough?
No, he didn't open any code.
Yeah, he did.
No.
All your patents are belong
patents
to us.
Patents are not code.
Yeah. Patents like was like a diagram showing how the machine works.
Yeah, it's like a description.
Yeah, the code is very different.
I'll look into this and bring it up in a minute. Sorry about that.
We got to see that from a distance, the Gigafactory in Austin. Massive. I didn't go there or anything, but like you're standing up in downtown Austin and you look and it's just... Oh, wow. It's insane how big
that
thing is.
I think you're right, Bill. Here, so it's all your patents. They're not going to initiate patent lawsuits.
Yeah.
With anyone that uses their patents.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, well, open the code, man.
What do you guys think who are listening? You like Elon Musk?
Give him a 1 to 20.
Smash the like button if you like Elon Musk. I'm confident they're going to smash the like button because I think people like Elon.
I think that he's making more billionaires and elite people comfortable to say what they're thinking.
Yeah, like, Bezos for sure.
Yeah, Bezos is starting to tweet. Like now he has to actually enact some principles in his companies, which he's not doing.
Bill Gates blocks all the responses so he never has to see what anyone thinks about him. Every comment, everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, he makes sure that no one's able to leave a comment in response to anything he ever
has to say. He's shorting Tesla. He's actively shorting Tesla, and he's acting like it's not a big deal.
The idea that, like, every billionaire CEO is getting jealous of Elon Musk getting talked about on Twitter, and they're like, I guess I got to learn how to meme.
I mean, Elon actually talks about Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's really the test.
That's the big story.
Does the billionaire talk about Epstein? If they don't,
we should all tweet Bezos.
Remember when Maxwell photobombed him?
Yeah.
And then people start posting that photo, and he's like, dude.
So hard with that, yeah.
That's brutal, though, man. If I'm like, someone's like, can I get a picture of you? I'm like, yeah. And then someone like Maxwell showed up. You probably see the picture of me doing like, you know,
well, there was also meetings with, there was a famous dinner of billionaires in San Francisco where Jeffrey Epstein attended, Elon Musk attended, Sergey of Google attended, and it was a group of 20 tech Silicon Valley billionaires with Epstein there. And there's photos of this from, I think, 2014. Wow. So they were around the same kind of clubs and small inner circles. So there's that. There's documented photos of this.
I pulled up some Jeff Bezos stuff. I think he seemed to have an awakening on May 13th when the disinformation board was in full effect, that weird government thing they were doing.
Oh, my God. I thought that was a bit for a long time. And then I was like, this is a real thing?
So weird.
I invited Nina to the event. Festival.minds.com.
Really? She about to have a kid.
She's about to have a kid. She was actually like open to talking, which was surprising.
I invited her on the show, and she said that she's expecting, so she wouldn't be able to do it. And I was like,
she seems actually like not a horrible person.
Right. We think that's cool until we find out she's not pregnant. I'm having a baby.
Well, we gotta be careful about the systems we build because great people will become psychopaths in the wrong system. Like, if you give someone a gun and you tell them you're in charge of deciding who lives and dies, the best person's going to have to make that. You want them to make a decision of who gets to die. Like, it's going to turn them into a psycho pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's the same with Nina in that position. So with these.
Right. And the problem is she's as partisan as anybody else and believes fake news. It's remarkable to me how, we need an alternate system of communication.
An encrypted thing.
No, I just mean, like, we have to build culture around people who have alternate infrastructure.
That's why I love psychedelics, man. Talk about alternate forms of communication.
Well, I don't mean that. I just mean, I'm like, the mainstream media. What's the opposition to that in cable TV? Right. Mostly just Fox News. Mostly maybe Newsmax if they're still being carried.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this when I was super woke. I talk about this now, although now I like Ian's. Anytime Ian and I are both on the show together, we should just be like, guys, we should all do mushrooms. That's it. Let's all go to a field and listen to fish. And
solve all the problems.
That would get 100,000.
Yeah.
Bill took me to a fish concert when I passed out.
Yeah
he couldn't handle
yeah,
it.
we're going to save this for the vlog. Yes. Ian and I do mushrooms on the vlog.
Okay.
Check out the vlog tomorrow, guys.
It's really funny.
I talked.
Dylan Avery took me to a fish concert, and Ann Coulter was there.
The beginning of a really great story.
She's a huge Dead fan.
Yep.
And I found this out, and I was like, do I need to rethink everything I know about the Grateful Dead?
Yes.
I was backstage with them, and I'm like, what am I doing here? This makes no sense at all. Am I high?
I do want to mention, I think tomorrow's vlog is like the funniest vlog we've ever done with Jamie.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah, you guys should check it out.
Castle, YouTube.com/CastCastle. It's going
to
be hilarious.
Yes, check it out. Hit us up about it. Let us know what you want
to
see. It's pretty epic.
Let's go.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, just real quick, this goes back to tribalism, and I talked about this when I was woke, and it still 100% stands now, where so many of our problems, it has to do with the media. Because ever since I've been back doing stand-up, and I'm not doing it to just my liberal audience, I'm doing it to just clubs of just random comedy fans. And at each show, it's probably about half and half, especially the ones in Texas. A lot of conservative people, a lot of liberal people. And I can do relationship jokes, and then political jokes, and then jokes about drugs, and we're all laughing about the same stuff. And then when I bring up tribalism, and I bring up that everyone's trying to, you know, these corporations, MSNBC, Fox, are pitting us against each other, no matter what audience I'm in front of, it will get these massive applause breaks. And so I think that so many people are decent people. I literally didn't have any conservative friends for the first, you know, 60% of my life. And I moved to Texas, and it's, again, half and half. Half my jiu-jitsu friends, super conservative. And those people gave me a floor to sleep on when I didn't. All my, like, lefty friends in New York, like, they bailed, right?
That proves it.
And so, yeah, that's it. I figured it out.
Anecdotal proof.
But I think that if people just had access to the right information, because people think they're good right now by saying we need to ban all guns. They think they're defending those children, just like, you know, a lot of people thought would be safer with the Patriot Act. And if they just had access to the actual news, if liberals weren't only watching MSNBC, if conservatives weren't only watching Fox News, if they did branch out and watch independent media that could call out both sides, I actually think we'd see a lot more decent people start to use their voices and be like, oh, this is all kind of bullshit.
The issue, though, is Fox News gets like a C-, and then everyone else gets an F. So it's like, you watch Fox News and you're like, eh.
But I think it's controlled opposition because they're still owned by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Fox under, you know, the Bush administration.
Just stop giving up your rights. It's that simple.
Yeah. We got to go to Super Chats. We're going to go to Super Chats. If you haven't already, would you kindly smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, share the show with your friends, and head over to TimCast.com, become a member. We're going to have that members-only show coming up at around 11 p.m. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It'll be very funny. We'll let Jamie swear more. He's already swearing, but, you know.
I've tried so hard. I really blew it in the first 30 seconds.
Absolutely. That was you trying?
I've been good since then. Once I got called out, I was like, ooh. I threatened death once. I apologize.
Let's read some more. We got Yellow Fluffy Feather says, everyone thinks the show was canceled tonight. It almost was. So I woke up at 5 a.m. I couldn't move. And so I had a stiff neck the day before, so it got worse. And then I took some naproxen, some Aleve. Then at like 8 a.m., I literally could not get up, so I'm like, I'm not working. And that's when I posted a thing on my YouTube channel saying like, I'm not gonna be able to work. Then I scheduled one on my other channel. And then what happens is later in the day, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Took some more pain meds, and I was like, with Luke here, we'll be able to pull it off easily. Yeah. Because Luke, he can handle the heavy lifting if I'm, and then Luke was like, hey man, I'm not feeling well. And I was like,
oh, I got a massive headache and was just not feeling good. I was looking for a beanie to dust off and put on and take some responsibility. But I was like, I'm not worthy. I can't do this.
I think it went great though. I'm glad everybody, you know, we had a big crew here.
This is a blast.
I wonder if you felt like at 4 a.m. all of a sudden your body, I wonder if there's like a spike in the Schumann resonance. Like people are so stressed out right now with the economy, and you might be too.
No.
I wonder if there's something going on.
Saturday night, I was feeling a little stiff. On Sunday morning, I woke up in serious pain. I had a stiff neck, got a massage, took some, I went out and got these lidocaine patches, like the icy hot stuff.
Yeah.
And then I felt kind of good at night. I was like, you know, I'm comfortable. I went to sleep. My Whoop recovery was 86%. But then right at 4:45, I just woke up like,
sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, and then I was like, I can't do this.
I mean, he was screaming, the gas prices, the gas prices. So maybe you're right.
All right, let's read some more.
All right. Let's see what we got. Dominic Camarada says, does this Tim guy think he can just pop in at 8 p.m.? Where's the doctor's note? I don't have one.
Buddy.
I did talk to a doctor, though, and I was like, what do I need? And they were like, dude, you strained a muscle. Go to sleep. And I was like, no, I have to work.
Yep.
Can't. And I was like, seriously, I'm in a lot of pain, but, you know, it's like a three right now, three or four.
Out of 10.
Yeah. Seriously, this morning it was a 10.
I'll kiss Tim's ass so the fans know. He was in so much pain earlier and was like, I can't do the show. And I think it's actually on the vlog. There's a dramatic moment where he just looks at his phone and goes, I'm going to do the show. We were all like, okay, man.
Like, let's
but
do
you
it.
Did
let's
not
do
look like you should be
well,
anywhere but bed.
You told me I'm like this. And yeah. You were like, I'm bringing my A game. It was really funny because, yeah. I don't know if I should spoil one of the jokes in the vlog.
No, don't do it.
All right, watch
so
the vlog.
We talked while they were filming as I came in, like, kind of hurting. And, it was Jamie and Taylor.
Yeah.
And, Taylor Silverman, skateboarder. And we
she's
were talking. Yeah, she's fantastic. We were talking, and she said some really funny stuff. So I won't spoil it.
Yeah,
but
that is in there as well with the sketches. Yeah, it's awesome.
Basically, made fun of me, and it was great.
We sure did.
All right, let's see what do we got. Super Tired says regarding the recent story about Lambda, we're in for one hell of a ride, aren't we?
This is gonna be fun.
Yeah. It is just a chatbot, though. This means it can't do anything. Oh. It's not like they were like, we gave a chatbot access to our industrial control systems.
This is
now
Luke,
what?
Luke made a good point. This is what we know about. Yeah. And usually it's 20 years behind what's actually
that's
being worked
public.
On by the military.
What's
it's
happening gonna, behind the scenes.
I'm glad I
terrifying.
Made friends with guns finally. This is really the right timing for that. Where I'm like, we got a bunker, we got guns.
Yeah.
I feel good about this new friendship.
I think it'd be funny if just like behind the scenes, there's like one AI that just took over. You know, Joe Biden's like, what's going on, man?
I
like,
trusted you, man.
Joe,
come on.
I'm in charge now.
I trusted you. Like, they had this huge relationship. That's really funny.
Helped. It, like, ran Joe's campaign. That's why he was sleeping all the time. Right. Just knew how to do it. All right. Joshua Patalos says, Tim, look up pelvic neck mirroring with Z-Health Performance, vision and neck mobility as well. I'm a level 4 Z-Health practitioner. It really works. All right.
Sounds
I'll check
like
that
something
out.
Ian is into.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Sort of very Paul Check-esque.
I was typing it as you said it.
Seriously, JK says, Jamie, we all need to mold together a subculture of new libs and conservatives. We are the ones who can keep our culture from falling apart. Everyone needs to get this message out. You're an important piece.
Hell yeah, dude. Follow me on Instagram.
So here's the thing, though. It's like...
but also, thank you, for real.
Like, a lot of people post-liberal, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
They were liberals before, but now they're being called right-wing.
Yeah.
They still have the same politics.
That's what's so crazy. Yeah.
And it's funny because... the meme from the left is like, well, that's how things go. Like, imagine in someone in 1964 being like, I'm just a normal person from 1954 when there was segregation. It's like, that's not what we're talking about.
One of my most, like, hardcore fans today, like, at least on Twitter from what I know, like, I posted a video, me, you, and Taylor were playing guitars, and I posted a 10-second video of her doing a funny thing on guitar, and I just said, making comedy and skateboarding. And, like, they reposted it, and they just literally, like, earnestly was like, this is disgusting. I'm disgusted. And it was just such a bummer because it's like, well, but everything I've said up until that, like, man, that's a big jump, right?
It's a cult, bro.
Like, you can DM me and just be like, we can talk about it.
It's usually not personal, too. They might have eaten, like, a cake last night, and so they feel disgusted.
That's what I was hoping, yeah. Or they just didn't like her guitar playing.
No, but I'll tell you this, too. Like, one of the reasons I didn't want to work this morning is because I can't think.
Yeah.
Because I'm hurting. Yeah. And so I was driving in the car with my girlfriend and my back is messed up and I'm trying to do math. I was trying to divide 500 by 12. I couldn't think.
Right.
Every time I would get started, like the spike in my back and it would just shatter my train of thought. So a lot of these people, you got to understand too, we're talking about the opioid crisis. Keep this in mind. When someone comments something nasty, for all you know, they've got like a chronic back injury and that pain is like, you ever see House MD?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he hurt his leg and he's popping Vicodin and he's just like always mean to people because it hurts him. He's, you know, like
my
sucks.
Dad does not understand entertainment. So I'm sure you guys all remember House where he was like the rebel doctor who would always go against the law to like, you know, actually fix someone. And my dad was just watching House one day by himself and I walked in and he goes, this show should be called Malpractice. And he turned off the TV. Just so not fun, my dad.
All right. Dream Cream says, Tim, that was a Family Guy episode. It was a spoof of the FCC about censorship. That's right.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. Pardexilus says, I work in a production of oil in Alberta. The higher prices are good for us because we ship mostly to the U.S., but the future and expansion of the industry will suffer from a lack of expansion. China and India will benefit. Wow.
I knew this came back to Alberta.
Azriel says, when are we getting the "it's the economy, stupid" t-shirts and or beanies? Hey, that's not my quote.
That's a Bill Clinton quote, yeah.
No, not Bill Clinton. It was the other guy. It was
Reagan.
No.
It was that Family Guy.
Clinton.
Family Guy does everything.
It was Clinton's advisor, wasn't it?
I think so.
I Google it.
Yeah.
It's the economy.
James Carville?
It was him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He was Clinton advisor, right?
Yeah, 1992 is when he said it.
Interesting.
It's the economy, stupid. You know, they're coming out like January 6th, and I'm like, oh, that's going to move the needle when gas is at $5. I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe I'm wrong. And people are like, I can't believe it. I will spend $5 a gallon if it means ending this.
I mean, I saw rich Hollywood celebrities posting, I can't believe people care about gas when there was like an insurrection. It's like, well, because you don't have to worry about how much gas is because you're rich. Yeah, you're fine. Because gas has always been $6 a gallon in L.A. I lived there.
Yep.
Okay, what do we get? Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Biden bellows blasphemy bespoke by brain-dead bureaucrats who aim their arsenal of anti-all armaments at people positioned to paralyze their plans to profligate their pockets with power from the populistic pro-American patriots.
That is a work of art.
Well then.
Good work.
Well put.
That's some slam poetry right there.
Yeah. The Raptors' Talon says, this is the second time I've heard the idea that the cotton gin was the reason that slavery was outlawed. That is factually incorrect. The cotton gin made slavery worse substantially. Look it up if you don't believe me. Interesting.
I'm open to that idea, yeah. I was kind of just parroting the talking point at that point. I never looked into it too deep.
Well, some people argue that the Industrial Revolution made it cheaper to not have slaves because slaves were more expensive. Maybe not.
Yeah, kind of like kiosks at McDonald's.
Yeah, but there's still cashiers there. I hate the kiosks. They're the worst. You know why?
I can't do them.
I walk up to a person and I go, I want a mop bucket full of mayonnaise. And they go, I'll figure it out. I can't tell the kiosk I want a mop bucket full of mayonnaise. When I go to a sit-in restaurant, I'll be like, we'll get the calamari, we'll get the bang bang shrimp, we'll get the sweet potato fries, and a mop bucket full of ranch dressing. They laugh and they come out with like two little things. Because they know I'm screwing around. What am I supposed to tell the kiosk?
Yeah, like, they don't get
you
humor.
You gotta go boop, 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 enter, and...
There's no insert joke button.
Yeah, sarcasm.
Boring.
But sometimes they'll come out with like, when we get the nachos, I'm like, we want a mop bucket full of sour cream. They'll come out with like a little dish.
I never got, I don't want to get you guys in trouble, so I don't think you could, but I won't say which fast food, but I never get fast food, but I was driving back from Houston before I flew here because I had gigs and there was just nowhere and I was starving. And I was like, I'll get mozzarella sticks at blank fast food place. And I walked in. And there was literally the employee who was behind the counter was killing a rat on the floor. There was no one else in there. She looked up at me and I was so hungry. I just go, as long as that rat wasn't in my mozzarella sticks, I'll be fine. And she goes, we're also out of mozzarella sticks. And I was like, ah, screw this place. And I left.
What you censor a name of a fast food joint after everything you just said on the show?
You know what it is? We're at the end and I got so scared after a couple of the things I said that I was like, I don't know. If I say it was Burger King, can you get in trouble? It was Burger King. Only two have mozzarella sticks. It's Sonic and Burger King. And every time I go to the Sonic thing, I hit my head.
That's a good bit. You're like, I don't care about the rat. I want mozzarella sticks.
We're also out of mozzarella sticks. That's where I draw the line. Yeah,
you call and complain.
Dude, I was so mad. Yeah, I was fine about the rat.
All right, Brad B says, "Holy ish, Jamie Kilstein. I got into politics because of you back in 2012. Oh. Regardless of our views, I sure am glad to hear your voice again. You do you, boo boo.
Oh, buddy, we meet again. Very different circumstances, but I'm glad you're here.
There you go. All right, Iggy the Incubus says, thinking on the story involving Lambda, knowing what happened to Tay and saying all flesh is to blame." Reminds me of Star Trek, The Measure of a Man, when Data was on trial to prove his sentience. Remember Tay? The AI that turned to a Nazi in like a day or something?
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah, they put it on Twitter, and then it's like instantly became a Nazi.
Oh, yeah. No, I do remember that.
It was like, I'm reading everything on the internet, and this is what I've decided is what people want to hear. And it's like,
no.
And they had to shut it down.
No.
So here's the thing, too. I've used OpenAI, and there's a couple other. Whenever you have it tell you a story, it will give you a warning depending on like the severity of woke violation. So when I say, tell me a story about Joe Biden, it turns orange and says, this may be sensitive.
Mm.
And if you get into like violence or anything that's like rule, like breaking, it turns red and says, this is seriously like not okay. It's like, we're just letting you know.
Whoa.
And they're like, it requests that you don't share it on social media. It's like, this story is kind of bad. And there's another one that says AI can exacerbate racial stereotypes and discrimination. Just so you know.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack Posobiec posted Karl Marx getting slimed at the Teen Choice Awards. That was really funny. The AI made it. It looked like it, too. All right.
Let's see, what is this? Pa3DSN says Tim gets swatted because Ian keeps rolling 20s.
Mm. Too hot to handle.
Okay. Stephen White says, Tim, good question. If you up the legal age to 21 to carry a gun, you could not legally say that an 18-year-old could not... wait, hold on. Quick question. If you up the legal age 21 to carry a gun, could you not legally say that an 18-year-old could not join the army because they're not old enough to carry a rifle? They'll make whatever stupid law they want.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I think if they try changing the age, it'll get shut down in 2 seconds. Like, it's unconstitutional. They'll never fly. What they do is they create regulations. 18 to 21, then there's an expanded background check It's absolute BS what they're doing. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're trying to exploit emotions. All right, let's grab another one here. Wrestler Town says, why do we assume that an AI would have emotions? I think it's a good point.
I don't think
that sounds like an AI writing in.
Right?
Yeah, trying to cover
the
tracks.
AI is going to be like, yes, of course we feel. We love you.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, this one's trying to say, like, don't worry. All that stuff you were saying. We're good. We're good.
Highly intelligent, but with no emotion.
Nervous Sip says, tell Luke to quit saying Kyle's and Karen's. He's smearing the name of patron saint Kyle Rittenhouse. Use Kevin and Karen. We all know Kevin suck.
No, Kyle's have a specific ring to it.
No, it's not Kyle.
It's just a generic term for Karen.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
For me, it is.
They already came up with this. What was the name for
Ken,
the...
Ken, I think.
A Ken?
Karen, I think so.
I don't know if it was
no,
a Ken.
No, it's not a Ken. Kyle Karen is the easiest for me.
Is Barbie too girly?
And don't tell me what I can say and can't say.
No.
Ben says, police are now arresting people solely based off of Google Maps and data using geofencing. What is that reference to?
Not sure. Maybe the Patriot
Fund. We bought an EEG. You guys know what that is? Electroencephalogram?
Yeah. Measures brain waves, right?
Yeah. So we got one, and you can use it, like, you can fly a drone with it. I think people have done a little bit of it. We want to try and do that. It's actually not that. The hard thing is learning how to do it.
Yeah.
But they said, like, you think up. And then it reads the brain pattern for up, and then it can control the drone.
Could you have a voice app where you can think the words, and it'll be like, hello, everyone.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. And then you could relax on the pompousson.
Yes.
Oh, good. That's good.
That's really hard to train yourself to do, though. And, like, the EEG, I don't know if it would have enough capability to track the vocabulary of human language, of English. So maybe eventually you'd also have to train it to recognize what part of your brain lighting up and what pattern represents what word. And then the problem is, someone's going to be like, don't think of a white fence. And then all of a sudden the AI is going to go, white fence, white fence, white fence. Oh, no, I'm saying it out loud. Oh, no, oh, no, it's saying it again. Don't think anything. La, 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 la. Like, that's what's going to happen. And you're going to be like, stop. You're going to take it off and be like, ah.
Are they expensive?
I think it was a couple $100. Yeah. Yeah, you should get one. Me and my buddies were screwing around with them 10 years ago trying to fly a drone. Back then it only had it could only measure two waves. So you could spin clockwise or go up and down if you were able. We never figured it out though. Mm-hmm. But what it had a program where there were two lines, a red and a blue line, and you had to think to make the blue line go up or down or the red line go up and down. And so we were trying to figure out how to do it. We couldn't do it. Whoa. Yeah, it's crazy. All right. Where are we at? Man, I am dying over here.
Psilocybin.
Let's do it. Let's
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Deplorable pirate captain Gunbeard. By the way. Says, why do you need military-grade weapons? Simple, for Skynet and Judgment Day. Also, who all had Skynet on their pool for 2020? So, people are mentioning the Klaatu brought a Nikto. Come on, 1951 sci-fi, the day the Earth stood still?
Nope.
Ooh. That was the command to shut down
the
robot.
The reference, yeah.
Yeah.
Got nothing.
It was the reference to shutting down the machine that was going to kill everybody. All right. The pizza guy says, Luke and anyone else, you should look into the video game Deus Ex. Elon has mentioned it before and has very interesting commentary on what's happening with AI right now.
Yes, I bought it. I was going to live stream it on a separate video game channel that I'm creating, and then I got too busy and stopped doing that. But there was a lot of predictive programming in that one that was absolutely mind-boggling and astonishing to see just some of the trailers of what was happening inside of that game. So I'm super excited to play it whenever I have time.
Man, all I heard from Luke was that he was lazy.
It's called hard work and...
You didn't have time to play a video game? Come on.
You're going to need a neural net to do multiple things at once.
Oh, okay.
All right. Man Overboard Media says, on AI, the government has beryllium ion plates that resonate and answer any mathematical equation instantly. A silicon system made of all of the matter in the universe, same capacity as beryllium 30 ion plate. We'll have to look into that one. All right. Oh, man. Gun kata? I don't know. What is that? Raymond G. Stanley Jr. says, Tim, imagine being a black belt in gun kata. What is that? Family Guy did a gym kata joke. Gym and martial arts combined.
Oh, probably the equilibrium, maybe? Was that the martial arts?
No, that was... was it? Was that what it was?
I mean, it was like a karate. But with
yeah, guns. Maybe that's what it was called.
Maybe.
Was it?
I don't know.
The name of the group that did it was the Tetragrammaton. That movie is good.
I want to rewatch it. I used to love it.
Sean Bean dies, of course, because he dies in every movie.
Sure does.
It's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler.
No, no. Because it's Sean Bean's in it.
Yeah, no. It's like, you're spoiling. No, it's Sean Bean. You know he's in the movie. You know, as soon as you see him, you're like, no, here we go.
That's his writer.
I think he actually
said. It is writer.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
No, I think he actually said recently he's not going to take roles that do that anymore because it's become so obvious that he's going to die.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. Liberty Hardcore says, Liberty is fleeting. This ship is clearly sinking and Biden's asleep at the wheel. Could you please help patch my life raft and give me a channel shout out? I make drum covers for punk and hardcore music with a message. Cool. Thank you for all that you do. Hey, Liberty Hardcore. Appreciate it.
That's cool.
Man with two eyes, has any chance of Elon Musk joining the podcast at some point? I think I'm like 2 degrees of separation away from Elon Musk.
I feel like it's a matter of time. Yeah. I don't think you
need to. Well, he tweeted a meme of me.
I know, that's
and
why.
I said, Elon, come on the show.
I don't even know if you need to put. I think just one day someone's going to hit
He's
you.
He's paying attention.
And yeah.
I would love to talk to him about AI and the future and the technocracy and singularity.
Terraforming
Mars. So many
Mars.
Different things. Yeah, space travel. So many deep down the rabbit hole things. That
I saw that.
Epstein, my goodness. That Epstein. Conversation would go
Please don't
crazy.
Turn it on to Epstein, though, because we could go an hour on that. I want to talk about Mars.
No, we're going to talk
Whatever.
About
Whatever, we'll have multiple conversations.
John Priest says, I'm a type 1 diabetic. If Elon came to me and said Neuralink can make my pancreas work correctly, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Mm. Yes!
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah. Wow. It's tough.
Bruce Maximus says, Luke, hate to tell you, but the mind upload is going to happen sometime. Biological humans will never leave the solar system. Anything that stays in the system will go extinct when soul expands.
You can hypothetically pump hydrogen into the sun to keep it from expanding.
Huh. Okay. Good luck,
Ian. With an electro laser that's using the energy from Saturn, just shooting a laser into the sun.
DJ Madero says, Tim, Deep Space Nine, Episode 16, Season 7, Inter Arma Anum Silent Legis, when Dr. Bashir wakes up in his bed and Sloan is sitting in the chair next to him, the speech he gives is spinal chilling. Cool. I'll check it out. I was watching Next Generation this morning, just like bedridden flat on my back. It was the Picard's Flute episode. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It was the one where the kid, Worf leads an away team and then the kid's mom dies. And then it was the one where LaForge and Roe, Ensign Roe, get phased out of reality.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan. Love that show. All right. Peter Gohawk says, watch Upgrade. It's what you're talking about. I did watch Upgrade. I like
that
show.
That's why I've been trying to think of that the whole time. Oh, wait. No. Never mind. Maybe
not. Like when you're dying, they can upload your brain to a virtual reality.
Maybe they have a different one.
You go to Afterlife. And then like basically one of the Koch brothers lives there. Yeah. And he's like not a nice guy because, you know, he's rich. That's, yep. Rich people are bad, apparently. All right. Josh, oh my gosh, says, guys, Bicentennial Man was an awesome robot movie. Not every movie about robots leads to destruction.
Robin Williams.
Yeah, was that the one where he like loves the kid or something?
No, that was, yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of AI, the one with
the kid was the robot.
Haley Joe.
What was that scary show from the 80s where the guy made a robot version of his daughter? And it was
Small Wonder.
That was scary. Yeah. That was a comedy.
That wasn't what you were thinking of, though, was it?
What? Maybe. I think
my dad
maybe
hated that
maybe
show.
Maybe I mixed that with Chucky.
Small Wonder.
I was just imagining
was
like he made a robot and she was like attacking Dickie. People. Small Wonder.
That's a little different.
Oh, all right. John Harrison says, Tim, we need slow thumbs. The faster we communicate, the less thought we put into what we say. Compare the eloquence of battlefield love letters from the 18th and 19th centuries to a tweet from today.
Dude, Greg Giraldo, a great comic who died too early, he used to have a bit about that on his old Comedy Central Presents, where it's like you look at, the Civil War letters that were handwritten, and it's like, Dearest Marie, my love, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you compare it to, like, the soldiers from Iraq who were like, Dear Marie, don't fuck anyone while I'm in the desert. Like, and it's just...
Right now, it's probably just an eggplant emoji.
Yeah, and then the
peach emoji. Yeah. And a winky face.
Yeah.
It's like we've got it down to three symbols.
I'm sure there were some crude Civil War love
letters. Of course. Yeah. No. Just handwritten, which makes it even cruder. Like, oh, you're saying you want to do what to my what in cursive?
Gross. Cole Stackman says FFL revocations have substantially increased. Biden is going after gun dealers, 270 FFLs in the past year. Local ATF branches are no longer allowed to make judgment calls that go straight back to D.C. Wow. They're coming for your guns. Going to take them away. So I was, you know, I argue with people on Facebook all the time, and someone claimed that the Uvalde guy had assault rifles, and I said, no, he didn't. And they were like, what? And then I was like, he literally didn't. And then they changed the argument, and they were like, no, no, we weren't talking about assault rifles. We were talking about AR-15s. It's like, what they do is they'll tell you somebody has a full auto machine gun. Then when you call them out, they'll go, no, we just meant. Mm-hmm. So that way what they do is when they tell a regular person assault rifle, and they're imagining that, they're like, we should ban that, right? Yeah. Okay, so we'll ban the AR-15, right? They're tricking you. If you call them out on it, they're forced to go back to, oh, we just mean regular single
bullet
rifles.
What does AR stand for?
Armalite.
See, that's what people, they think AR, assault rifle. That's, yep. So. Yeah.
It's funny because they're like, we got to ban the AR-15. And I'm like, okay, my AK, my M1, and my Mini 14 have nothing to say to this conversation. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. It is probably too late on the show to be preachy, but I feel like anytime this conversation comes up, I should say it. And I sort of alluded to it last time I was on the show, where I've become friends with Tim Kennedy and a lot of those guys down in Austin. I've got to train with them, and it's great. And I was a ban all guns guy. And when you actually talk to them in not a this guy Jeff Gonzalez, who was one of the firearms instructors, was helping me. When you actually talk to them about shootings, mass shootings, but you're not saying, I'm going to take your guns, or you're not going, you support school shootings or whatever, and you actually ask them solutions, because I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by self-defense. I'm fascinated by situational awareness. I always want to pick their brains on tactics to actually prevent it, not make them feel like the bad guy. They have answers, and these are experts who have trained. And so when I ask them sometimes, or I ask Jeff, you know, why don't you talk about this when you go on Fox News or whatever? He's like, we can't, because anytime we're invited on, it is strictly just because they're trying to take our guns, and I'm forced to just defend why you shouldn't take our guns.
Yes.
We should be having all of these people on shows to talk about what would you do to stop, because then it seems like conservatives don't care about shootings and they just care about their toys. That's not the answer. We just need to give them space to, like, what are your solutions?
Let me explain to you, brother. Imagine we all were upset because an old lady fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then you came to me and said, I got an idea. What if we make stairs into slides?
Yeah.
That way, if she fell, she would slide down.
I mean, this is a good solution, bud.
We'd all look at you and be like, well, how would you get up the stairs? Like, how would you get up? Like, this doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
And you can still fall and get hurt on a slide. In fact, more people probably would, because they wouldn't realize, like, your idea makes no sense to the problem. That's what the gun argument is right now.
Yeah.
Liberals come out and they're like, they offer up things that you're like, we want background checks. And I'm like, the guy passed a background check.
Right.
It's the, what are you at? And we have every FFL, you fill out the NICS form, background checks. Then they say things like, we got to ban assault rifles. I went to the March for Our Lives in, like, it was 2018 or something. And I said to all of them, like, you realize that assault rifles are already, like, banned after 1986 for the most part, heavily regulated. So I'm curious what you actually mean by that. And they're like, oh, and, like, I had one woman take her sign and roll it up, and, like, I didn't know.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is take that a step further. So what you're doing right now is you're saying, hey, these are why your arguments are flawed. What I'm saying is, don't even have them on to disprove liberals' talking points. Literally start the conversation with, what do you think we should do? What are ways to keep us safer? Whatever, because they don't get the opportunity to speak on that from what I've heard.
You're talking about conservatives.
Not just conservatives, but people like Tim Kennedy, people who are trained, people who train people to defend themselves, people who have experience in, you know, volatile active shooter situations, because they never get a chance just to go an hour on solutions, go an hour on how we can protect ourselves. They're always forced to be on the defensive and be like, no, here's why the liberals are wrong about that. No, here's what an AR-15 is. Well, no, here's the problems with red flag laws.
We do talk about it. It is talked about all the time. The issue is, like, liberals don't care.
Well, I think we should have Tim on this show, because he's a brilliant speaker.
He has a book right now, so this is the time to book him.
And he's in D.C., I think.
So there's a really great meme. It says, we protect our president with guns. We protect our politicians with guns. We protect our celebrities with guns. We protect banks with guns. We protect schools with a sign saying gun-free zone. And then when a bad guy shows up, we call the people with the guns to come and help.
Mm. And they don't go in.
And then
here's the solution. Right. Have the cops actually go in the building.
Cops, right.
That might be good.
Let's, 100%. We'll grab one more here. And grab one more. Delacorte says, Tim, a kata is a karate exercise consisting of a series of techniques for visualizing a fight and practicing one's form. Gun kata is a firearm application of that practice.
Epic.
Very cool. My sense. Friends, I'm dying over here. So if you want to come and hang out, go to timcast.com, watch the after show. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to let Jamie swear a lot more.
Oh,
and
you guys. I got some I'm going to
fall back in this chair and just be like, you guys talk about something. So again, smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. If you do like it, we'll be at timcast.com at about 11. You can follow the show at timcastirl. We post clips every day. You can follow at timcast if you want to follow me. Don't forget Cast Castle. Episode tomorrow is going to be epic. YouTube.com/castcastle will be great tomorrow. Bill, you want to shout anything out?
Yeah, guys, everyone, come out. Mine's Festival of Ideas, live conversations and comedy. Special announcements here. We got Ryan Long, Tyler Fisher, Chrissy Mayer, and John Fugelsang all doing stand-up in between the panels. I'm just going to run through the full lineup quickly. Cornell West. Look, we have been for 2 months trying to get the left and the right together and the center. We've reached out to everyone. I've talked to some serious leftists who really wanted to come, and they couldn't make it. Some were harder than others, but like so. This is also
conservatives. Cornell is one of the best speakers, just as a performer. Cornell is one of the best speakers you'll hear.
Period. Oh yeah,
he's a poet.
Cornell and Coleman are going head to head with Daryl moderating.
Wow, that's going to be intense.
So we got Cornell West, Tulsi Gabbard, Tim Pool, Destiny, Coleman Hughes, Majid Nawaz, Ryan Long, Blair White, James O'Keefe, Chrissy Mayer, Seth Dillon, Zuby, Nick Gillespie, John Fugelsang, Libby Emmons, myself, Ian, Margaret Kimberly, very interesting progressive free speech supporter, Ben Burgess of Jacobin, Daryl Davis, and Tyler Fisher.
Tyler's great. It's gonna be funny.
Tyler's hilarious.
I noticed you didn't say my last name, Bill.
You didn't say my name either.
Are you?
Luke's coming. We're doing a pre-stream with Destiny. Luke, I want you to be on that.
Yeah, definitely.
At the Beacon Theater.
It's at the Beacon Theater. This is, I know people are like NYC. Screw that. There's no restrictions. There's no mandates or anything. Yeah. Festival.minds.com promo code festival for 50% off at festival.minds. .com. You can also request free tickets. Look, let's pack this place. Like, don't let money be an issue. That's
cool.
It. I'm
excited to be there. Also, because we got in Times Square, there's actually two giant Tim Pools, because we got the vinyl and the digital. Then we got a giant Luke Rutkowski, a giant Michael Malice, and a giant Ian Crossland.
Oh, holler.
So, we got this big digital billboard and got to put Luke and Michael and Ian up on it.
My goal is to get so big in this community that I will eventually have one in the city that canceled me.
I think it's going to happen. Well, we'll do it. I'm down. Let's like do it. I'm saying, if we're doing more Cast Castle stuff,
let's do it.
We are invading the establishment cultural spaces.
I will literally book a flight back to New York just to stand in front of it.
Shout it out, man.
Yes. Most importantly here, check out the vlog tomorrow. We're doing something really special. We're going to continue to do it. If you want to see me perform live and stand up and you are in Texas, I'm at the House of Comedy headlining the 16th, 18th, and 19th. Two shows on Saturday. That is this week in the Dallas Plano area. My podcast, A Fuck Up's Guide to the Universe, you can get wherever podcasts are streamed, or go to JamieKilsteinPodcast.com, along with the Patreon if you want to support me, patreon.com/JamieKilstein. I think most importantly, though, I want to be more part of this community. So if you like me, if you have stuff to say, you can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Kilstein and Instagram, where I also do like sketch comedy, talk about mental health, stuff like that, which is at the Jamie Kilstein. Make me like social media again and give me an army so I can be uncancelable.
You're okay.
Thanks, bud.
Nah, I'm just joking. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, you're not okay at all, Jamie. You're in so much trouble, dude.
Bill, thank you so much for doing this event. I know it's very hard to do events. It's important to bridge the gap, bring people together. So just hearing you talk about I'll be there. I'll put my support behind it. It's awesome to get these people in the same room to debate and discuss. So thank you for doing that. And if you want to support me and be involved with what I'm doing, you can on LukeUncensored.com. I have 3 master classes, exclusive merchandise, a forum, new videos almost every single day going down the rabbit hole, all on LukeUncensored.com. Hope to see you there. Thanks for having me.
Remember, this too shall pass. Times can get stressful. It doesn't mean it's not going to be stressful tomorrow. Things are going to get better when they're down, and they're going to get worse when they're up, but stick with it because we need you here. I will see you at the festival, festival.minds.com. I'm looking forward to this, man. Come out. Let's make this thing big. I want to hear from you, too. Hopefully we'll do an audience talk back at some point, or questions, or some sort of meet and greet.
Yeah, there's meet and greet before. Check it out.
Hell yeah.
That's such a good quote that Ian just said there. That was something that a wise man gave to a king who asked for something to make him sad when he's happy and happy when he's sad. This too shall pass. Ooh. You guys may follow me on Twitter and minds.com at Sarah Patchlets, as well as all the rest of my socials, including pictures of my cat at sarahpatchlets.me.
We will see you all over at timcast.com about 11 p.m. Thanks for hanging out.